Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
Where, what place would there be better than being in a hot tub with your soulmate, Andy Hart, mowing on a chicken parm calzone? Everything is right in PFW land.
That's better. Again. Me mowing on a chicken parm calzone.
Everything is
or
right.
Or you
with
eating
the world.
Pizza.
Well, yeah, that
or
would.
Or you bitching about not getting your pizza.
That would be perfect, but evidently I can't get pizza. Every time I order it, I don't get it. So what are you going to do? These things happen. But we are here. Again, for another edition of PFW in Progress, and this one promises to be a little bit more entertaining because the nonsense portion of the show, otherwise known as Andy Hart, is here today.
The A-team's back. We're the original A-team.
The old A-team is back.
Back in the day.
Paul and Andy with you, along with Doc and Toyota, Tacoma. What else is Fred call him? Chevy Tacoma?
Yeah, he screws it up.
So we'll do our best to have some of our... The tangents that I promised on Tuesday. Andy.
Let's start right now.
Listen, we didn't get a chance to... We had Brian Lowe for the first hour, who did a nice job.
Yep.
Exactly. And then we had Ding and Dong, otherwise known as the interns, Chris and Craig.
Craig's his name?
It was a little bit tough, yeah.
Boring!
It was a little bit tough. So it didn't really have a lot of time for our nonsense. So I promised on Tuesday that we would get a little bit of nonsense into the show on Thursday, so I'm really relying on you there.
Okay, well, I have a poll to start.
Okay.
Miracle Whip or mayonnaise? Just our Miracle Whip commercial. A new formula of Miracle Whip. Which do you prefer?
Mayonnaise.
Really?
Doesn't really matter to me, though.
Not,
I don't feel all that passionately about it.
I hate mayonnaise.
Mayo!
I am 100% in the Miracle Whip. That's all we have in my house. Mayonnaise is so, like, lardy.
Well, it's terrible for you.
But I mean, it looks and tastes like it is. It's fat. It's yeah.
It's not very good for you. My brother hates mayonnaise.
Now Miracle Whip. That's got a
As
little
As my grandfather
tang
once
it,
said, I don't
kick.
Even like the way they spell it.
True.
You know, how can you argue with that logic?
Now Miracle Whip, you gotta like.
My boss at the Herald used to say it's so bad for you. It's like smoking a pack of cigarettes.
It mayonnaise. Probably is.
It's pretty bad.
Isn't it like? Egg oil,
egg
lard,
oil,
or
butter.
Fat or...
Yeah, it's not.
Every time
not.
They have those blenders, they try to sell you on TV. One of the things is make your own mayonnaise, and they pour a couple things in and whip
it
up.
Because you got to make it yourself to make it a little bit worse for you.
You're gonna spend $20 a month on mayonnaise anyway. Really? Who and where?
All right. So that's just a preview of what you have in store for the next 2 hours, for this edition of PFW in Progress. Once again, our illustrious leader Fred is not with us. Neither is Eric, which. You know, that's one of those good news, bad news things. No Eric, but no Fred. Good news, bad news.
For every long week, there's a short week. For every good news, there's a bad news.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot in terms of specific Patriots news to report. So, you know, in terms of the bookkeeping aspect of the show, as we said on Tuesday, it's a very quiet time. It's a slow period. One might call it the dead period in the NFL because really there's no activity in terms of transactions going on.
One who's insensitive to the news of the league would
do that. Well, I mean, that's just utterly ridiculous, but what are you going to do? You play the cards that you dealt.
And the more we hear about the Steve McNair situation, the more we realize bitch was crazy. Hmm. I'm not absolving him from any fault in this situation, but the news today that she staged it or attempted to stage it so that when killing herself, she would fall in his lap, by the way, after shooting him while sleeping, but trying to stage it so they'd find her in his lap. And
yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Now,
also interesting that she was upset not about anything to do with his wife, but the fact that he had another girlfriend beyond her.
Doesn't that
multiple?
Doesn't that all?
I guess
know,
it's a square,
that
a love
dynamic,
square,
the,
not a triangle. Let's get an
trapezoid.
Extra side.
We'll call it a trapezoid. That dynamic, though,
probably shouldn't be laughing.
Some, you know, really kind of never ceases to amaze me. That whole you are the other woman, and yet.
You're
can't
stunned.
Understand when the guy has another woman. I don't know.
Also not stunning on the other side that you find this class of woman that's willing to be with a man who has four kids and a family and all this, and then, like, it turns out poorly.
Right.
Like, any woman who's willing to just jump in bed with Steve McNair after being his waitress, stunning that it doesn't work out, doesn't end in happiness.
Well... You weren't here on Tuesday, and I'm sure that you were sitting by the radio, by the computer, listening to us on
no.
Patriots.com radio. But we did obviously touch on the Steve McNair situation, and we basically put it. Brian and I talked about it a little bit. We understand it. You know, it is a tragedy. I mean, no one deserves to get shot
right.
because they have, an affair. But at the same time, we have to accept the fact that once again. We don't know these guys. We perceive them as being people that we just don't know if they are that person or not. And Steve McNair is perceived as being this wonderful man, this charitable guy, family man, NFL man of the year. And while a lot of that may be true, the fact of the matter is he would be alive today if he wasn't doing something that he shouldn't have been doing.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be pretentious or self-righteous or all. I just don't think it's very hard to be a father. And he's not, that's what I mean, when you look at a tragedy like this, I feel for the four sons
mm-hmm.
who now don't have a father because he couldn't control himself and
right.
he had to have a 20-year-old girlfriend. Now, it doesn't mean that he deserved to die. He deserved to get shot four times while sleeping on the couch or whatever, but... To me, it's a terrible waste, and I have a hard time, sort of just singing the praises of the guy.
Right.
I heard some people on the radio, Mike and Mike, were talking about it. Now you know, I think Mike Golick said, now you know we're going to get into all the stuff that we don't want to know. Well, what are you talking about we don't want to know? So should we just talk about the rosy nature of everything
right.
and keep it at that? I mean, part of the story is... that he was having an affair, and that not only he was doing that, but, as you put it, the woman was upset not because he was threatening to go back to his wife, but because he had another girl.
New flavor of the month.
In addition to that, as you put it, a love square, if you will. So I have a hard time sitting here just singing the praises of the guy. I think he was a terrific quarterback. I think he was a good player in his day. I'll leave it at that. I don't know what he was like.
Quote one high-ranking member of my family. That's what you get.
High-ranking. I would say the highest ranking.
I would, too. But it's not a very sensitive quote, so I'm not sure the person wants it attributed to
this
them.
This is true. Again, webradio@patriots.com is the way you can join our conversation and kind of leave it open today. I mean, we have, the McNair stuff is still, as Andy pointed out, there's still stuff coming out, some additional information. They have now officially ruled it a murder-suicide,
right.
which is what we speculated on Tuesday. They had stopped short at that time of deeming it that, but now they have officially called it that. We had the whole Michael Jackson fiasco that happened after our show on Tuesday. I don't know if anybody was watching that. I certainly was not. Saw very little of it. But kind of similar in that you just kind of ignore all of the black marks or the bad stuff behind Michael Jackson's career and just celebrate the wonderful entertainer, which, by the way, I'll put my hand up. He's a great entertainer. I was a big Michael Jackson fan. you know, back in those days. I was a young kid then, and I enjoyed watching the guy perform, but that doesn't mean, you know, what happened to him later in life should be ignored. And
right.
Again, that's what everybody's doing. They choose to ignore it. So anything, we're open for anything today. So
how about the Great Debate Part 2?
The
Which
great
number
debate,
55 do you want?
The Great Debate is still going on, by
yeah,
the
I've
way.
I've lost interest in that.
We have, I just wanted to let everybody know, I'm going to read the email. I'm not going to get into it, but Paul Richard or Richard, you know, I don't want to, Eric would probably correct me on that. I don't know if Paul was French, but.
He can't make those jokes that I usually make on last names, can I?
He said, no. he signs his email P. Rich. So
P. Rich.
We'll go Richard. He has done a lot of work on this.
And I agree with him wholeheartedly.
And I showed you he has an elaborate spreadsheet that he put together on the Great Debate. And he's assigned variables and percentages for what happens in year one and year two, if Brady stays, if Brady goes, if they win, go 19-0, if they don't. And he basically has come out, it's almost a dead even thing. It was like 52 to 47 point
but who
something.
Won?
Andy's side won.
I don't get it, but I'll take it.
I don't understand it all. It's quite elaborate. I'll give Paul a lot of credit. He did an awful lot of work and research to go, and I'm sure that he is a much more mathematically inclined individual than I, and you would have to be pretty much a monkey if you weren't, because I have a hard time balancing my checkbook. I'm just going to read his email, though, Andy. Long-time listener, but the Great Debate issue, listen to this, has prompted my first email. This is basically a way to reduce the Great Debate down to numbers. The attached spreadsheet is a way to calculate the value of the two options. The yellow cells can be changed to whatever values you think are appropriate, which creates another debate entirely. But this was just my way of trying to decide. Have fun with it. Love the show. And like I said, it really is in-depth and detailed, and Paul did a lot of work on it. It's impossible for us to sort of relay that in words. You'd have to see the spreadsheet. And
should we forward it to the PFW in Progress people? They might be interested in putting it in one of those chat rooms so they could play with it.
Maybe we could send that to James.
Why don't you put it on the website to go along with the Ask PFW? The debate Friday.
I think it's a little complex and intricate for the general audience, but I think for PFW in Progress listeners, I think they could play with it and the percentages, because the way he works it out is there's values and different things, and he actually has 100% chance in his that the year after Brady retires, you don't make the playoffs. I don't know if he used last year as the example of that, since essentially it was the year without Brady and they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
But, and you can change those things. Maybe you think it's a 90% chance that they won't make playoffs, or, you know, conversely, maybe you think the year after the team will still be good and they'll have a 70% chance of making the playoffs, but that those percentages will decrease as it goes along. We should forward that to those guys. They might like to play with that a little bit and continue the Great Debate.
All right, we can send it to James. Maybe, Doc, why don't you just forward that to James or Paul? One of those guys can maybe do something with it for the website for us. Strippers wanted to chime in, just very excited that the A-team is back.
Thanks, Strip.
So thanks, Strippers. Karen liked the show. Well, like is probably a strong word, but he gives me some props for. He just wanted to say that I did a great job on Tuesday holding down the fort, much like Bill last year with the secondary. He did the best he could with a limited amount of talent. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. As for the Great Debate, I am completely on Andy's side. I want my team to have the best chance to win championships year in and year out. And with Brady, I know it's possible. Without him, we just move to the middle of the pack, and our chances of success decrease. I do have a question. Do you think that players deserve tougher sentences on taking drugs? In England, soccer players can be banned for as long as 2 years. They can also be banned for 8 months for missing a test. Well, once again, Andy Hart just mowing away on a chicken parm calzone. Nothing to add.
I shook my head.
Yeah, that doesn't really tell us anything. Do you think they should be tougher than 4 games? A quarter of a season?
No. Because I do legitimately think there are different types of cheaters and different types of people that get caught.
Do you buy at all?
Yes.
Why do you do that?
Okay, ask a question.
Do you buy at all that some, you know, every single guy, it's the catch-all excuse is the supplement thing. You know, it was a dirty supplement. It was a contaminated supplement. I didn't know. Do you buy any of that ever? Do you ever think,
Yes.
A guy innocently is. In other words, do you think that there's, you know, a lot, yes, a lot more of that than there is the guy, you know, kind of.
Not sure about the lot word.
Shooting
the
needles
in
the butt, you know, and doing the, you know, the traditional steroids the way, you know, you grew up doing.
I'm not comfortable with the word lot being thrown in, but I do think there are. And that's part of why I don't think it can be kind of a one strike and you're out, or one strike and you're seriously, you know, banned for 2 years, as she said, whatever, with soccer.
That was Karen.
Oh, I thought you said Karen.
Karen in Ireland.
Oh. Hi. Have another for me. I do think there's issues with that. And until they come up with better testing, foolproof testing, or nearly so, I do think you need to have some degree of, you're being punished, you're being branded in some
ways.
Well,
that's why the 4 games is good for those guys. Because
right,
if it really is an innocent thing, well, this will teach you the next time, make sure that you
right,
know what you're putting in. You can't just get off scot-free with
right,
that. But at the same time, I think that's a lot less serious than the guy who is doing, you know, all of the other stuff that, you know,
I'm also
not naive enough to think that doesn't go on.
The bigger issue is, what does the league want? Do they want to maintain status quo, which is we catch some people, we even catch stars, Sean Merriman, guys like that, deal with their suspensions and move on? Or does ultimately Roger Goodell want a, you'll never get 100, but a 95% clean National Football League?
Right.
I don't know the answer to that.
No, no.
I'm sure they'll tell you they want a 99% or 95% clean league, but I don't know in their heart of hearts that they really do. I think they want 18.5 sacks. I think they want 25 touchdowns from a wide receiver. I think they want 2,000 yards from a running back. I think in their mind, they want just as much to be like baseball, where numbers are big. Numbers matter, that there are numbers. And some of those are touchdown records and rushing totals and all that. So, and I have no problem with that. You know that I am a fan who wants to see big numbers, big plays, big runs.
There's no doubt in my mind that 2 years ago,
Corey, you
the people in the NFL were wholeheartedly rooting for Tom Brady to hit 50.
Right.
You know, they may not have been rooting for Randy Moss to hit 23 for different reasons, but Tom Brady getting 50, that round number of 50, that's a magical number now that they can always fall back on, and they have it on a guy like Tom Brady, who's the face of the league. Just like I'm sure they were wholeheartedly rooting for Peyton Manning.
Even better. Now you're setting up the
ago,
two guys. You can continue the
exactly
back and forth,
my point,
maybe.
Exactly my point. You have these two guys that do everything right on and off the field, face of the league, face of their franchises, clean-cut, wholesome guys. Let them let Manning go out and get 52 this year. Let Manning one up. I mean, Brady one up him and get 55. You know, on a Monday night game to end the year, something silly like that. I think they would love nothing more than to have something like that happen.
Kind of like baseball had when they were pretending that McGuire and Sosa
exactly,
were these clean, let's root for them, hugging each other, heroes, and all that. It makes for good marketing campaigns.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it all plays out in terms of how much more frequent. Guys, you know, Calvin Pace is the latest guy. I don't know if you heard this when you were on vacation. I know you
that,
shut it down. Calvin Pace.
I read the paper in the morning.
Calvin Pace, New York Jets. It's probably going to be a very important piece of that defense for Rex Ryan. He's probably going to be used in some different ways in the 3-4, and I know they like to attack off the edge with pressure and stuff. That's going to be a significant loss for that Jets defense, which, by the way, is going to be scary, according to Kerry Rhodes, and teams are going to have a hard time even scoring against them. He's going to miss 4 games, by the way, including Week 2 against the Patriots. Not surprising, that since the Jets and Patriots seem to play in Week 2 almost every year. But that's a huge loss for the Jets. I think that a lot of these guys, it's interesting to see how many of these guys get caught. Because you mentioned Sean Merriman. I just don't think there's a lot of those guys, and I don't think there's
no,
there aren't. I don't think there's nearly as many guys that are getting caught as are doing it.
Oh God, no! And that holds true for all sports.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how they move on that going forward. If they, like you said, I think you put it, how much they really want to clean it up.
Which leads me to my other point. In the past, I've been a guy who often made fun of and ripped Lance Armstrong for his cheating and building a career and a fraudulent.
That's 22 minutes and 2 tangents. I love it. This is what I was looking for on Tuesday.
Live strong. You know, the bracelets.
Yeah,
he
you know
out,
I'm not a huge fan.
Live strong
speaking
with the best drugs you can buy. That part's left off the bracelet.
Speaking of guys who just dispose of their wives and, you know.
But I have to say, utterly impressive what the guy does on a
great
bicycle.
Athlete. No question about that.
They're all cheating. I don't pretend that he's the one
that
cheating.
That might be the dirtiest of all sports.
And he just leaves the sport, has cancer for a while, doesn't have cancer, wins, comes back again, retires, comes back again. And what is he, like 4 seconds back now? He's winning stages. And this is how he always was before. You know, there'd be times where he wasn't winning. He didn't lead wire to wire, but at certain times he just takes over the race and blows
him
away.
He's going to win it again.
Unfreaking believable.
Well, I think it's when you get to the hills.
Yeah, whatever he does. I mean, the peloton. What is it? The peloton? The peloton? Something like that?
Why you asking?
Is that group or something? Is it, you know?
Well, I thought the doc had something.
I thought he was going to chime
Where's
in.
Where's Eric when you need him?
That's true. He wouldn't know.
Eric would have to go look in Google.
But
he would pronounce it correctly.
If he
the
saw
myth
it.
Of Lance Armstrong.
He just wouldn't know it.
Is colossally fraudulent. But the guy's an incredible athlete, and you have to rave at what he does.
I agree.
As a dirty member of the dirtiest sport, as you said. Very well said. Dirty sport. But he's still the best. He's the best of the cheaters.
That might be the worst of them all.
Oh, yeah. Because they do things
the blood
ridiculous.
Doping
yeah.
And
any sport where they, like, take your blood out and put it back in, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's different than – that's a step up from just injecting a steroid and saying, I'm going to get stronger.
So, basically, we're leaving this one open to all of our listeners today. It's webradio@patriots.com. Again, is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call at 508-543-7482.
And I'm proud of you, Paul.
What?
You didn't look at the sign when you read off that number.
I mean, unlike Fred, I'm not so old that I can't remember my name. That's been the phone number since we were in Walpole
Park.
That
was amazing.
So that's the number, 543-7482, 508-543-7482. I do remember the phone number.
What do you think Fred's doing right now?
I would hope nothing. Well, either that or watching trees fall dangerously close
into
to
his house
pool.
And running like a little girl. the house!
You want to make $5 the hard way?
That's really what he did, though. Basically, he said that. Somebody took him up on it for some wood.
Except for no one's making $5.
That's true. Well, the guy's going to make the money on the back end of that deal.
Right.
Assuming he doesn't destroy the house and just walk away and cut ties with the whole operation.
Andy, also very excited to be hosting in Fred's absence this year. Fred obviously had the mishap with the deck, so I'm going to fill in. I'm going to fill in with the pre-training camp party this year, and I'm very excited to be hosting that.
I'll be there.
Late in July. I know Andy will be there. Doc will be there. Doc's not crying that he wasn't invited this year. I made sure that I had him on
because you invited him.
Oh, it's the first time I was in charge
Sweet.
Of inviting anybody.
That's true.
Hasn't been my party until this year, my friend. That was a little Eric like this.
Will there be
Sorry
music?
About that. Yeah, I think we might be able to get my wireless speakers hooked up by then. They're not hooked up right
Fred
now.
Fred always has music.
He does.
He's got a fancy Bose system that's wired into the outside.
I'm not gonna lie to you. And you know, he probably has those rock ones now too. You see those commercials for the rock ones? Mine will be much more primitive, but hopefully I'll have it hooked up by then. But we're looking forward to that
I'm gonna
for the
warn
end of
you,
the month.
I interfere with those things.
What do you mean?
Wireless.
What do you mean you
Baby
interfere?
Monitors, speakers. I tend to make them make weird noises. I got a little metal in me or something. I don't know, but I interfere with
Is it from your knee?
Could be that it's like a satellite dish atop my body.
You did. That one did pass right by me. I should have jumped on that opportunity.
I could bring some gear if you need. Big speaker.
Gear?
Music.
What are you going to do some spinning?
No. iPod, set it and forget it.
Oh,
I wouldn't use that phrase. That's on one of those infomercials. That's
we could do
infringement.
That, we could
yeah,
do
you
that.
Should have him bring it.
I'll look into it, see if I get the speakers
Can I pick the music?
Set up in time.
The playlist? Nice.
I don't know if I'm all right with that.
I got hoes in different area codes.
What was that?
You never heard that song? I like that song.
Hoes
in different area codes?
No.
013, 201.
I'm not familiar with that. But, you know, we touched on a little bit at the end of the show on Tuesday, Andy, and you and
the
I.
The worst hour of radio?
You and I have had
from
this.
From what I've heard.
It was up there. Although it wasn't as bad as the hours that I've done completely by myself.
I hear it's a dead heat.
I agree.
I hear the guests you brought the show down.
Ding
you were better
dong.
By yourself.
Ding and Dong did not bring much to the table, I will admit.
Did
Ding
you ask
talks
Ding
too
about
much,
his...
Dong doesn't talk enough.
Yeah, Dong such an talk. Idiot.
Okay, go ahead. What do you want to talk about? The end of the show.
The end of the show, we touched on an argument that you and I have had a lot, and that was the whole game manager label.
Good, bad.
Yeah.
Did you throw out my... workhorse running back?
No. Well, because some of them I agree with you on.
Possession receiver?
I don't understand why this is morphed. Now,
tackle machine?
I agree with you and this is where Chris didn't seem to understand what I was talking
system
about.
Corner. Oh, no, that one really is bad.
I agree that these things are accurate, that people look at the term game manager as being negative.
Right.
I agree with that. But I don't understand why it is, because my people like to think that Trent Dilfer was a good game manager in winning the Super Bowl.
He's a bad quarterback.
I think he stunk. I don't think he was a good game manager at all. I think he was terrible. And it was reiterated
to
me.
Weird, because didn't he have a strong arm?
Yeah. But it was kind
of... he kind of flies in the face, because a lot of time arm strength plays in there, and he kind of flies in the face of the...
Well, I was watching NFL Network, and this is the reason why I brought it up. Last night,
you know the network I still don't get?
Yeah.
Despite all this stuff? Oh, they reached an agreement. Everybody's going to get it.
Two more America's Games last night, which, by the way, that series is outstanding. I know that we've all
it
seen
better
the Patriots
be. It's all they
ones.
Got.
We've seen all the Patriots ones a million times, and they're just so well done. But I saw 2000 Ravens last night, as well as 2006 Colts. The 2000 Ravens is the one that brought me back to this game manager thing. And just watching how bad Trent Dilfer was and how bad that offense was, that's not game manager. He didn't game manage.
Right.
The defense won games, plain and simple. He made plenty of mistakes. The defense was just so good that they bailed him out of them. So I don't know. I guess it's just a matter of interpretation. But Basil, your old friend.
Eric calls Basil.
Right. Lunch buyer.
Jackpot.
Yes, he's our lunch buyer today, but I can't really thank you until I actually receive my lunch.
We didn't get any fried dough either, did we?
Did you get fried dough today, Hi-Ho?
I didn't place the order, but I don't think so, no.
For God's sakes. Anyway, Basil chimes in. He said another one who thought I did a great job flying solo, almost. I agree with a lot of things you say, I've heard you say in the short time I've been listening, but the reason game manager is derogatory for a quarterback is because it means he's not in there to make plays and or win. It means he's doing all he can to keep from losing. As absurd as this might sound, it's just like saying they're running a prevent offense. When the Bears won a game with Rex Grossman, you would say he managed the game well. When they lost with him, well, you wouldn't say anything. You expected it. Seriously, though, game manager is not a positive tag to place on a pro quarterback. Oh, and another thing, I subscribe to people. Okay, I can read that. He's looking, and I emailed him back about this. Another subscriber to PFW recently, but in the off season, Basil, I told you this, we're monthly, so you can expect an issue next week, and then a couple of weeks after that, the training camp preview will be out, and from there on, we'll be back to our weekly schedule. So that's how it works. As a new subscriber, he wasn't sure of that, but he does put it down there. Yes, Andy, it's pronounced Basil. B-A-Y-Z-I-L-L. Is
all of us knew that except
he
Eric.
Phonetically spells it.
Who said Basil because he's a pompous snob.
Because he's pompass. How's that?
He likes to do something else.
Oh.
No, stop telling lies.
Not
you
pump,
are,
Paul.
You
it's
are
pump.
An habitual liar.
Oh, God. That was just terrible.
It you want
to get
is.
You want to get to some emails here in earnest, or do you want to...
Front page story
here?
About P-Town and
but what about,
papers. Was Eric in it?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know. What about Scott Pioli?
What about him?
Well, you wanted to talk about the Kansas City front office. He's now working for the Hunt family.
Oh, I wondered if there was a Mike in the Hunt family. How big is that family?
I apologize. I know I'm
I had forgotten about it, just so you know. You had to relead me to it.
I'm an enabler. I understand.
No, but that would be one of those funny ones because it's an influential business. What are they, from oil or something, Paul? They go way back.
Well, they're from Texas. So
I think
yeah,
they came
oil.
Up through oil.
Yeah.
And I always think of, we always joke about funny names that we find, you know, Dick Curl and Richard Pound and all these.
Dick Pound.
That, yes, but.
He's speaking of doping, anti-doping.
I always think it's even funnier with a famous person. It's okay if you just meet, you know, Joe Schmo, who's got a funny name, but somebody who owns an NFL team potentially has a couple $100 million.
Yeah, I did know a girl in college named Janice Blomeyer. It's a true story.
Did she?
I don't know.
And when he can take your center and just blow him.
It's about time you decided to participate. Is this what you needed to get involved with the drop-ins is a little bit of nonsense?
Or was it the result of the last hour of last week's show where he said, I got to do something?
Listen. It was boring, okay? I had nothing to work with. What do you want me to do? I can't run a spread offense with a bunch of plotters, right?
Sometimes you need to be, you know, chameleon-like and just change, go with the flow.
I did the best I could. I even got into an argument with him just to try to spice it up.
Right, with a minute and a half left in the show.
Well, it's not my
Which
fault.
Argument
the kid
was
has
it?
Nothing about the game manager thing.
Oh, I didn't know if it was the argument where he assumed that 95% of the population has a passport. It's just like getting a driver's license. And I said, yeah, for you, you're rich. At an early age, you're traveling all around the world to all these countries.
Yeah, Andy and I
Most
have to get passports to go to London, and he was kind of, you know, this is Chris, who clearly is
wealthy.
Come from a, you know, a life of privilege.
Well-to-do.
He was, like, dumbfounded that we would be concerned about having to get passports. Couldn't believe that we didn't have them already. Like, everybody has a passport at all times. I mean, I guess some people, you know, it's commonplace, but for me, I haven't had any opportunity to leave the country, really, until
Do you need the passport on a private jet? You own a jet? I mean, how's that work?
Yeah, I don't think all the money in the world can avoid you...
Customs?
Yeah.
Guns?
Getting through that kind of
other
situation.
Countries?
Lawrence Maroney also came up a little bit last show, Andy. A couple of emails were a little critical of him. They wondering if this is it for him.
Could be.
We've talked about Maroney a little bit in the past. We got a couple of emails about him. Here, so I'm gonna check one out here. Garrett is in Dallas, Texas. Where else would Dallas be? I don't know. I wondering,
bet you there's another Dallas somewhere.
How will Lawrence Maroney fit into the offense this year? I was reading the projected depth chart on Patriots.com a few days ago. Well, that's your first mistake.
Chris Ferreira.
You can get yourself in serious trouble doing that. It said that Sammy Morris was projected as the starter at halfback.
I'm okay with that.
Personally, I am a fan of Lawrence. I think he needs to step up and have a very high-caliber season next year. I know he was great in the 07 playoffs, and I think he can perform like he did in those games. There is no doubt he has a spot on the roster for years to come, if he can do that. But
I was waiting
for
the end of that sentence. Sir.
Well, I think I missed an if at the beginning of the sentence. But if he doesn't have a breakout season, and if he were to get injured again, what do you guys think the Pats will do?
Peace out.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a make-or-breaker.
Clearly.
For Maroney. I do agree. I think he has the talent. I think he is a dynamic guy. I think he's a good power-speed combo. But if you're 4 years into it and you haven't really shown it on a consistent level, I think it's time.
Is it safe to say that his best production came when he was truly healthy? Because he had the shoulder issue going into that season, correct? 07? He had come off shoulder surgery?
That's correct.
So you could say that, you know, he was working his way back, and the end of that year would be his most healthy, and he had his best production. And then last year he got hurt again. This year he's rehabbing. I mean, so is it safe to say that when healthy, he's an NFL running back?
Did you know that there were 9 cities in the U.S.?
Named Dallas?
Named Dallas.
Strippers?
No.
Oh.
Doc.
Really?
All of a sudden he's decided to participate. I don't know. I don't know what's gotten into him.
Just
Fred's
trying
not
to save
here.
The show.
Fred's not here. I don't know why
show
he's
doesn't
decided.
Need saving
yeah,
when I'm
listen,
here.
Listen, when the A-team's here, there's no resuscitation necessary.
Resuscitation?
So keep spitting into that little bottle of yours over there. Did I sound like Smirnoff when I said resuscitation?
A little bit.
I have a hard time with S's sometimes. You know, that's the false tooth. My whole life I had no front tooth, you know.
It's a problem because based on my watching of Wheel of Fortune, S is a very common letter in the English language. It's not like Z or you can get by and it only pops up every once in a while.
Somehow I made it through 41 years without it being a real problem. I think I can survive another 40.
Did you really make it, Paul?
Sure. Not.
Another Maroneyism here, although this is partly about the 19-0 versus
I'm
Brady
on the record
well.
That he'll have a comma in his rushing totals, Paul. What say you?
He'll have a comma in his rushing total? I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say he won't.
Paul Poopy Pants Perillo.
No, I think they're going to have...
Rains on the parade again.
Why don't you let me explain?
I don't want to.
I think they have 3 excellent running backs, and I think they're going to be fine. Spreading the carries, I don't think anybody's going to have 1,000 yards.
He'll have 1,000.
But I think they'll have a very good running game with close to 2,900 yards rushing. I think they're going to have a really good...
I agree with that.
...productive running game. It's just not going to be all one guy. That's all.
I agree with that, but I think he gets over. I don't think it'll be a huge season, but I think he gets over 1,000.
Another one on your side, by the way, is Garrett in Dallas. He thinks 10 more years of Brady is almost a guarantee that the Pats would win at least 1, if not 2 or 3 more Super Bowls.
You know,
thus, having Brady for 10, well, at least 1 doesn't equal the 19-0, so it better be 2 or 3. Otherwise, you lose.
You know, he speaks from experience. He saw what happened to those Cowboys teams since the Aikman, Jimmy Johnson era. Fell apart. Haven't won a playoff game in how many years? That's what he doesn't want to go to. You keep Brady for as long as possible. Extend that window you're in. Open it up.
But you yourself said it doesn't matter about winning as long as I have a chance to win all those years.
Right.
Well, Dallas had a chance
they
to win.
They don't really, though.
But they don't. They don't.
And they didn't for a while.
You say that that's okay.
Their chance has returned mostly because Romo is thought of as a top flight quarterback franchise.
But that's all you need, you said, is the thrill of being in it every year.
Right. Be good. So,
They've been good. They just haven't been great.
Eh, they haven't really been good.
They've been good.
And have you read the Greg Ellis stuff?
No.
That DeMarcus Ware was like hiding on the... Wanted Greg Ellis to play, so DeMarcus Ware would like hide on the sideline when the coaches were looking for him, so they'd have to put Greg Ellis in. I don't know if it's true. He said it. Michael Irvin radio show, again, getting good quotes. The player's all too comfortable on that show. But, yeah, Greg Ellis said that... You know, he wasn't playing as much as he wanted to, and Ware knew about it, and Ware would tell him, and like, I'm going to hide on the sideline or something, and you can go in for me. And can you imagine that? What the hell is going on
in Dallas? That's unbelievable. Yet another ringing endorsement of Wade Phillips.
Or a couple steps higher on the ladder.
He's the coach, though. I mean, he's the guy that's putting him in.
The owner brings the circus atmosphere to the team. It starts, that big top starts at the top, that big tent. It's a three-ring circus, and he's under the middle holding it up.
All right. Here's a reasonably interesting...
Ooh, Leticia Costa. Sorry. I got a quick tangent. My peeps over on pfwinprogress.com. You remember the day... It was in the Great Debate, I think, somewhere along the line where Hottest Woman in the World came up.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about one night versus whatever.
Yeah.
And they had a whole thread, pages deep, with photos to back up their nominations. Worth the see if you're interested later on PFW Progress, Paul. They had some, you know, a lot of them are from England and over there, and they had some, like, British models and some really hot. Leticia Costa, she's French. She used to be Victoria's Secret model. I don't know what she does now. I used to be madly in love with her. Somebody nominated her. I agree. She was, like, nominated for something in France. She's, like, the official woman of the country. I think they put her picture on their money for a while. She is just smoking. Same age as me, so it's perfect. Someday, she's my dream girl. And, you know, She's got it going on, if you know what I'm
soulmate?
Saying.
She's a soulmate?
She might be my soulmate.
You're going to be soaking it up in a hot tub?
I wouldn't mind.
After winning state?
With her flotation devices keeping me from drowning.
Well, here's an interesting question. It comes from Adam, and I'm trying
Adam?
To... Adam? I was looking at the schedule. Well, he talks about Bledsoe a little bit at the top. He coaches a Little League team called the Patriots that his kid plays on. Interesting, did he retire a Patriots on a one-day deal or anything? No. None of that is accurate as far as I know, right? He didn't do any of those ceremonial things, did he?
No.
He was looking at the schedule and was wondering what
Unless
teams...
Unless BFW missed it.
I was looking at the schedule and wondering what teams that will likely... He uses the word suck. So I'm going to use suck. Let's just throw it out there.
Raiders.
It's Fred. No. That will be a tough game for us this year. Much like in 07, Baltimore and Philadelphia both were terrible, but they were very tough games.
Like Seattle. Last year.
Seattle last year. You have mentioned that the Carolina game could be tough. I think John Fox left too many gaps, and with large contracts to Peppers and DeLome, not a lot of signing and a lot of unhappy players. Fox has never had two winning seasons in a row. I think Denver may be the tough team to... May be a tough team, even though I don't see them winning more than eight games. Maybe the Texans. They have been 8-8 the last 2 years. Maybe this is the year they finally make the playoffs. We aren't too familiar with them. What do you think? So is there any... like really bad team that figures to be bad that you think might be a tough game? Because I don't think an 8-8 team, that's not really bad.
No.
You know? So Houston, if that's a really tough game, well, they've been 8-8 the last 2 years, and they probably figure to be around that again.
Right.
4-12, that's a bad team.
Who are the bad teams on the schedule?
If you ask me, Buffalo, Jets. I don't know who else. Houston, I don't think is very good, although I don't think they're that bad that they would necessarily qualify. Jacksonville might be a candidate. Didn't they win like six games last year?
I'll go Buffalo in the opener. I think you never know what you're going to get.
You never know what you're going to get in an opener.
T.O.,
that's for sure.
The energy, a little bit of rust. Who knows? I think that they have the potential. That could be an interesting opener. I don't think you just automatically fly out of the gates again. I think people just assume that Brady, Moss, and Welker, remember how good they were the first time right out of the gates? I don't think it's always that easy. I think they made it look a little too easy for their own good.
Well, and I think what happens is sometimes we sort of underestimate it because they made it look so easy.
Right.
Of how hard that was. Not only they didn't really have a lot of time working together, but Moss, if you remember, missed the whole preseason. And they didn't really have any time to work together, any discernible time anyway, in game situations. Maybe they were doing more stuff in practice that we knew about, but right. they weren't doing it in game on game reps. So
that could be one.
That was amazing.
Jacksonville.
I don't think Jacksonville's very good, but I don't think that'll be a very tough game either.
Right, that's what I mean. I think they stink, and I don't.
I got to be honest with you.
Quarterback stinks.
I know that it happens all the time, and Adam is right. They seem to have a stumble against a team that you wouldn't expect it every year, and would have a game that's closer than you would have imagined. But I just can't predict that. You know, I can't imagine going into a Monday night game at 2-11 Miami that they're going to lose. Or going to a 3-4 win Houston in 0-3 and having to score a touchdown in the last play of regulation to win in overtime. I can't predict that's going to happen before a game. Can you?
No.
I can't see
it. Not generally. Just sometimes I can because I'm, you know.
Well, like when, what was the game at St. Louis that you thought?
No, I didn't say I'm always right. Oh. I said sometimes I make predictions like that.
Well, I was just wondering. All right.
How about New Orleans? I think they could struggle with New Orleans.
New Orleans is a team I think they could struggle with, but again, it's another 8-8
right.
team.
But I'm just posing them
I
as a
struggle. I agree with you because of the way they play.
Right.
And I think if you can have a reasonable amount of success protecting your quarterback, that's the way to beat the Patriots.
They could be, we talk about if the
no
defense
fear.
Isn't very good this year, if it's not, if the reworked corners and linebackers aren't good, that this offense could be required to win shootout. That could be a shootout game.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get the ball up and down the field. They're playing at home. I think that's a game.
There's no question the Patriots
I don't think
are going to
stink,
score,
but
they're going to score 35 plus right. in that game because New Orleans.
But
has
there's
no
a
defense.
Chance they score 30 plus, and you're winning 38-35.
Well, keep the emails piling in. Webradio@patriots.com. We have a lot of you lined up. You decide. You tell us where you want us to go. Send us
mayonnaise.
Send us some topics.
Miracle Whip?
If you have a tangent you want us to go on, strippers, you're always good for
the
those.
Hunt family.
Get those into us, and we will take a quick break.
Whether it's football, Irish drunks, or vacuums, Andy Hart lays down the law.
Isn't he awesome, you guys? Dude, he just goes around imposing his will on people. He's my idol.
Patriots.com Radio.
This is NFL and Patriot Hall of Famer Andre Tippett inviting you to join me at the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon for the next installment of the Hall Speaker Series on Friday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m. This is your chance to spend an evening with me, ask questions about my career, and get an autograph. Tickets are on sale now and are just $25 and include your admission to the Hall. Get yours now by calling 866-995-2456 or buy online at the Hall at patriotplace.com. And I'll see you on July 24th at the Hall.
One passion, one cup, one chance to see it. The 2009 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Watch three top-class matches for the price of one. Saturday, July 11th, 4 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. Revolution versus Kansas City Wizards. United States versus Haiti. And Honduras versus Grenada. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to goldcup.org. That's 1-877-GET-REVS or goldcup.org. The 2009 CONCACAF Gold Cup. Don't miss it.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. 28, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for ACDC at Ticketmaster.com. The Gillette Stadium box office are 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. ACDC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Got to give Andy the nod here.
He's the inappropriate one.
He is the inappropriate one, but he also is going to pinch hit for me the rest of the show so I can eat. Someday, I might have my pizza show up, and Andy's graciously agreed to read some emails for a while I feed my fat face.
Thank you, Andy. I think Pizzeria Grande does a phenomenal job. They had my calzone here and ready to go, so that's all that really matters.
They do a great job. I'm concerned.
You said doo-doo.
I did. I'm concerned about the morons that place the orders and pick them up.
Toyota Tacoma? Are you calling out him or Basil?
Be that as it... Oh, not Basil.
No, not Basil.
Basil's solid. Rock solid. He's a big Drew fan. He likes Drew.
There's a few of those left, huh?
Hey, some of us don't need to have, flashy Super Bowl rings and Lombardi trophies to define us.
That's why my guy is Bo Jackson. Should we tell the listeners
about your love affair?
You always mock when I bring up Bo.
I think Bo was great. I think Bo was great.
But even you, a sports fan, has forgotten how great he was because last week we went on YouTube. We looked for Bo highlights.
This is true.
We played a highlight film, and you were wowed. Because you have forgotten how good he was.
But I explained. See, you don't really remember what I was, saying.
You don't remember how great he was.
But
in this era, he would be the greatest athlete. He would make Adrian Peterson,
but you're mischaracterizing
sorry, strippers,
it a little bit.
Look like a run-of-the-mill workhorse running back.
I'm not arguing
Bo
with you on that.
It was a freak
but you're making,
of nature.
You're making it sound
nature.
Like when I watched Bo Jackson, I didn't think he was great. I just thought he was another guy, whatever.
You don't remember.
No. What I'm trying to tell you is, during that time, the late 80s, the Patriots were on a steady decline and became completely irrelevant. It was also coincided with my college years where I wasn't necessarily glued to a TV every Sunday. I had things, other things that I was doing, namely getting drunk. And it
we'll call those the Irish years?
Yeah, those were the Irish years.
Oh, yeah,
no question.
Followed up by a few potatoes?
So... That's where all I'm trying to tell you is I didn't really watch a lot of Bo Jackson games and remember all of those runs. That YouTube clip was unbelievable. But you're making it sound like, wow, I didn't know Bo Jackson was that good. Yes, I did. I did.
But you didn't remember he was that good.
I didn't remember some of those individual runs like that. You could chart every one of them because it was embarrassing.
That's PFW in progress homework. I want everybody, when you're done listening to the show, in order to maintain your... object and deplete your bandwidth at your work, go to YouTube and just start watching Bo highlight videos from his time with the Raiders and some of his runs because they were re-goddamn ridiculous. Now that I move on from that rant, we'll move on to the emails. Paul, do you want me to read this Manning Rivers one? Is that the one you wanted? Hey, guys.
You can read anything you want.
And Paul. Wow. Calling you out. This is Oliver from Down Under. They've been having a big debate over at ESPN Football Today. I don't know what that is. And I'd like to hear your opinions on it, too. It doesn't really concern the Patriots, but hey, how much on this show does? Good point, Oliver. The question is this. Who got the better end of the deal when the Giants traded Rivers to the Chargers for Manning? Note that the Chargers also used the picks they got from the trade to pick two Pro Bowlers, Sean Merriman and a kicker whose name eludes me. That's, what's his name? Right, Paul? Yeah, it's what's his name. So what do you guys think? Love the show, Oliver in Australia. Well, I think you could look at this in two ways.
What's his name would be Nate Kading?
Yeah.
Right?
And he's a good kicker.
Yeah.
You can look at this two ways. On the surface, the Chargers kicked butt because they got a comparable quarterback, an elite defensive player of the year type guy in Merriman, and a good kicker. But you could also look at it on the other side of the coin in the Fred Kirsch butterfly effect theory. The Giants got Super Bowl rings. Not directly necessarily related to
Eli
Manning.
Well, that's the way you guys all define everything around here.
What? Rings?
Yeah.
Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that ring. I agree. And
I don't think there's any questions.
Philip Rivers could not have lobbed up that ball that David Tyree then glued to his helmet and fell down for the
reception. I just think that a lot of that is circumstantial. Now, listen, Rivers had a chance.
But it's the butterfly
Rivers had
effect,
a chance.
Paul. It's the definition of it.
Unlike Manning, Rivers was the in charge of the best team in football in 2006. And he couldn't get the job done. He couldn't win the game against the Patriots. And I think his attitude does work against them. I think he is a hothead. However, I think San Diego got the edge in that trade.
By far.
And then some. I think if you were just going one-on-one, quarterback to quarterback, San Diego got the edge in the trade. Because I think they have the better player. But when you throw in Merriman and Keating, just forget about who they got.
He just threw up on the microphone.
That was Fred like. See, I'm so hungry, I couldn't stop. That's why I had to have Andy start reading the emails. But maybe a little later. But forgetting about who specifically they drafted.
Are you bulimic?
two
Things
draft
Paul's
picks
never
and
been
a
accused
quarterback.
Of.
That's true. Two quarterbacks and a draft pick. Two draft picks and a quarterback. That's an edge.
It's pretty good trade now.
And everybody said it at the time.
Next up is Greg, subject Play Pat's GM for a bit. And what free agent signings, 2010 draft picks, and other miscellaneous moves would you make? Assuming no major injuries or negative situation involving the players that are noted. And the list may be a bit outdated. That always makes for good radio. Glad you sent it. Patriots free agents after the 09 season. Lee Bodden. Sign him or don't sign him. You have Butler and Wheatley. Unless Bodden is superb, then not critical to resign.
I don't think he's critical to resign.
Kevin Falk. I like these comments, actually. I'm a big fan of them. Great player, but in the twilight of his career, may take a low ball offer. But if he goes, then you need a third down replacement.
Again, if that would be the only case. Low ball offer, and he wanted to stay, sure. Otherwise, I kind of think that you're looking to move on there.
Steven Gostkowski will need to be resigned at reasonable price.
Right. Can you stop? Yes. I think he's a must resign.
You wanted me to do this. You asked for it. You get it. Nick Kazier. Never liked this guy. Vollmer or O'Callaghan can do as good a job, no doubt. I have my doubts about O'Callaghan. Vollmer, I have no idea. Paul?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that they have... to me, Mark LaVor is the guy that I think could
nice
fill in and replace Kazier, but I don't think O'Callaghan is anywhere near as good as Kazier, and I don't know anything about Vollmer.
Mark LaVor has a little Tom Ashworth in him, in like personality, athleticism. You know, I don't think he can be great, but I think he can be a decent, suitable right tackle. I don't think Kazier's great. I think he's a guy. I think he's a starting caliber right tackle probably in the league, but not much above that. And LaVor, I like. Maybe I'll do a story on him. Maybe I'll fall in love with him this training camp. Logan Mankins, need to pay him, exclamation point.
I disagree.
You want to let him go?
You can always get a guard. I'm telling you, I fall back on it.
Yeah,
I
but just you can always get a guard that you drafted in the first round. That's how you got that guard. Yeah, you used a first-round pick on him.
It was the last pick of the first round.
Oh, listen, they don't count those. Those are called second-round picks now. Agents might want to be notified.
I'll qualify this.
I like this hosting thing.
Yeah, you're great at it.
You're really regretting that? You want to suck that pizza down and move over?
You're
here?
Great at it, too. Let me add that. I feel
he's an angry little man.
You know
what?
Where's
little
the
either.
Anger? And why are you having side conversations with Doc? I'm right here.
Well, I'm kind of pretending that Doc is the listener and sort of addressing him.
Well, on a day like today, by the way, that's very accurate. The listener.
Well, yeah, because everybody's on vacation.
Listen, if Mankins is going to command, and I think he will, the kinds of salaries that guards are getting on free in
7 years, $49 million, wasn't that the contract guards got for a while?
For a while, the last 2 years. It's ridiculous.
I don't really pay attention lately.
So no way am I giving him that. And if that's what he's going to command on the open market, then I say, you know what, Logan? You're one of my favorite guys in the locker room. I think you're an excellent player. Good luck.
So you could lose both guards in an offseason.
Yeah. I think that's why you drafted 15 offensive linemen.
Hey, yeah, but you drafted like these. I mean, he was a first-round pick. I know
you
dismiss him.
I don't dismiss him. I just told you how good I think
he is. But
he
was a first-round pick all-pro.
I think he's a very, very good player, yes.
He's a lot better than your left tackle.
You're probably going to replace him with a player who's not quite as good.
Right.
And I think overall that's going to mean very little in the grand scheme of things. That's all.
That argument I can live with. Ryan O'Callaghan. Depends on Kazier and Vollmer's progress.
See ya.
Yeah. Speaking of dime a dozen. Richard Seymour. Although O'Callaghan, I'd still say, has some physical tools. I'm not sure he has the drive to be a dominant NFL lineman. I don't think he has the mean streak.
Seymour's a tough call.
Wait. Seymour's have a to keep him with a big H, or Wolfolk, with the, with the signing of Brace, then my guess is that they less Wolfolk walk for big dollars. So you're going to keep Seymour, Paul? Is it indeed directly tied into Richard Seymour?
Well, I have to wait and see what happens this year.
Because it's always easier to assess a player's performance after he performs than trying to do it before he performs.
No. In other words, I am not interested in re-signing him to an extension before he hits free agency.
Who, Wolfolk or Seymour?
Seymour. Asante Samuel, I was all for signing before he had a great year heading into free agency.
Well, a little different scenario.
Yes, a lot different. I agree.
Seymour the second time around.
I agree.
So are you signing him or not? I forgot. What'd you say?
I'm waiting. I'm going to evaluate that situation. If he has a year like last year, only maybe a little bit better, I absolutely want him back. If he has a year like 2006 or 2007, maybe not so much.
I like this game. Lakeven Smith, just a backup.
Yeah, I could keep him around as a backup, depending on how many of those frontline guys I lose.
David Thomas may not make the team this year due to a very competitive tight end situation.
See ya.
Peace out, Dave. Benjamin Watson will need to have a big year this year, or will have trouble holding down the top TE spot.
See ya.
Vince Wilfork. Now, how does the guy four lines earlier spell it W-O-L-F-O-L-K, and then get it right when he types it later when he's talking about Vince Wilfork?
Maybe he was talking about a different guy earlier.
Wasn't there like an Andre Wilfork?
Butch. There was a Butch Wilfork.
I think there was a
W-O-O-L-F-O-R-K.
Or Ernest Wolford.
Wolfork. It might have been Wilfork. It was a running back out of Michigan, I think.
We're going to turn the page to 2010.
Vince Wilfork, by the way, that's strictly a money thing. I mean, I think you need to re-sign him.
How much do you pay? Give me a number.
But I'm not giving him, more than, 32 guaranteed?
32 guaranteed? I'd do it.
5 years, 32? That would work for me.
Okay.
But I won't give him more than that.
Patriots free agents after 2010, Paul Perillo.
How long are we going here?
Tom Brady, remortgage Gillette Stadium to keep him, whatever it takes.
I don't know if I agree with that either.
Paul doesn't want to sign Tom Brady.
Want to sign him, but I don't want to remortgage the future for it.
I was just paraphrasing. You need a top-flight left tackle protects Tom's backside, but Paul just let Tom walk, so you might not have to sign this left tackle.
I'm assuming Brady's going to re-sign and stay here, and you can get a new left tackle.
I kind of agree with the comment. You need a top-flight tackle to protect Tom's backside, I'll go get
that's
one.
That's why I'm going to go get one.
Let go.
Exactly.
Lawrence Maroney depends on his performance this season. Still have Sammy Morris. Paul agrees with that because he likes to assess those situations later in life. Dan Copen. Now, if you let Neal and Mankins go, did Copen re-sign? He's up again?
I re-signed Copen. And you're right.
At what cost?
I don't think he's going to break the bank.
I don't either. He seems to be pretty entrenched in New England and married and family and everything, the whole shtick. He's been here for a while. I agree with you. I think he's open to staying. 2009. I don't understand the question. 2010 draft, Paul. Who would you like to draft? First round and second rounds. Linebacker, guard, defensive end, tackle, center. Yes?
Eliminate guard and center, and the rest of it I'd be fine with.
Yeah, because Paul says you can always get a guard.
Right.
Just go get a wrestler. They got one. What's his name?
Jermail Porter.
Jermail Porter. Okay, observation from our friend who's got a long email. Don't know if you've watched America's Game series on NFL Network. Paul has. He loves it. I've watched everyone and love them. They do a great job of breaking down the winning perspective, team chemistry, and what went on during each team's Super Bowl season. If you haven't seen them, check them out. Outstanding. And not just the 01, 03, and 04 Patriots seasons. Little funny dot dot smiley face thingy. A few weeks back, I sent an email prior to the show because I liked the show and wanted to generate some conversation on the Derek Burgess, Greg Ellis topic. One of you guys made the assumption that my email came in after you had discussed the Derek Burgess situation and gave me poop when Fred read my email. Did you ever consider that the email may have been sent prior to the show in your analysis before you degraded my question? No, you did not. I wanted to call in and tell you to bleep off. Anyways, whatever. My love for the Pats far exceeds your rude comments, and you guys do provide a lot of insight, so I keep listening. Brady plus 10 years. Woohoo, Greg.
You should have called in, though. That would have been nice to listen to you yell at Eric.
You can't swear. You got to keep it under. Andrew in the Ukraine checking in. I was wondering if you could do a small...
See, there's that the again.
In Ukraine. Sorry, it actually doesn't say the Ukraine. I just added it. I was wondering if you could do a small favor and post on the website when the 19-0 versus Brady debate is officially over, or if we should assume that it is the de facto conversation until the start of training camp. It's getting hard to listen to the podcasts. Well, stop listening.
All right, well...
I'm sure you have better things to do in the Ukraine.
We don't have to talk about it on this show, that's for sure. I mean, we go whatever anybody talks about in the emails.
That's true.
And that's what I opened up the show with. We'll let you guys decide where we go today.
Webradio at Patriots.com. That's webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482. If you'd like to change the topic, the course, God forbid we get on the great debate again, although everybody in the world seems to be pretty interested in it, except from Andrew in the Ukraine. Hey, guys, and Eric, this is from Reed. Recently, Doc and Toyota have been doing a good job with drop-ins, but they need to make some new intros. I pause.
I was waiting till the start of the season.
Okay. A South Park intro has been floated out there, but I have two ideas that would be pretty funny. Pretty spelled with an I. First, a Dr. Ruth intro would be hilarious.
No.
That gets no. I don't know why. I don't really...
Way too inappropriate for me to air.
On this show? Too inappropriate for this show? I didn't know that existed. With Eric making all the rude and vulgar comments that he makes. And for those who don't know who she is 80-year-old sex doctor. She's still alive and doing well?
I guess.
She has a funny voice, right?
Yeah, she's from Canada.
I thought she was German.
Wait a minute. There seemed to be a leap in logic there that they didn't ask you to use on SATs. She has a funny voice. Yeah, she's from Canada. So everybody from Canada has a funny voice?
I liked your SAT analogy. That was nice.
What'd you get on your SATs? A 200 using that kind of logic?
No, he misspelled his name.
A little higher than that. Not much.
He went to Syracuse after all.
That's true. The second is a Family Guy intro. Fred would be Peter Griffin. I agree. The stupid father. Paul would be Brian the dog, just because they both like to drink and get drunk. Or Ollie Williams, the sports news commentator who screams whenever he talks. Do you scream when you talk, Paul?
I don't know. Do I?
I don't think so. Certainly didn't there. Andy would be Stewie the baby because they hate everyone and have huge heads. That's true. And he's also, like me, an idea man. He's always coming up with the ideas to take over the world, take over the family, and they never really work out. But at least he tries them. I don't even try mine. And Eric would be Herbert, the elderly child molester. Oh, that guy's funny. With the walker. He goes, hey, boy, come on inside. I got some popsicles. Well done. You going to do one of those?
Yes.
Are you really? Family Guy intro?
Yeah.
And South Park. Any others you'd like to preview at this point in the offseason during the dead time, according to Paul Perillo?
Doing Office Space.
Have you seen my stapler?
Yep.
What do I get in that?
Haven't decided yet.
Do I get Jennifer Aniston? Not
a quote from her or her?
No,
in
I
general.
Want her. She's hot. Hey, Paul and Andy, this is Matt in San Diego. Already, this show is miles ahead of Tuesday's show. Of course, I'm back. I usually look forward to listening to the show at work, but Tuesday I didn't even make it through the whole thing. Tapped out with 30 minutes left. See. General consensus is he made it through the first hour, and what happened in the first 30 minutes of the second hour? Those interns, Paul, they dragged you down. They hurt you.
All I could tell you is I thought it was better to have somebody, anybody, than just myself.
Do we get quarterly ratings on the show? Can you see if it peaked and spiked and fell off?
Yeah, we could see average time spent listening.
Yeah, it'll be. I bet it's about an hour 15, an hour 20. Once they realize those losers were staying, they beat feet. Here's my question. This year's Madden 2010 video game, Paul, have you played yet? I'm sure you're familiar with the rankings, which are always a popular topic. No. Has both Troy Polamalu and Larry Fitzgerald on the cover. If you could have one of them on the Patriots this year, which would you take? And this is Matt in San Diego. He says, I feel like Fitzgerald may be one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL right now, and I'm not sure Polamalu is a top three safety. But there is no doubt that the Patriots are weaker at that position, and Polamalu is certainly a game changer on defense. Thanks. So Paul Perillo, Troy Polamalu, or Larry Fitzgerald?
For the Patriots, Polamalu, no question. I think he answered it right. I think Fitzgerald is terrific, but they already have a couple of terrific wide receivers. They don't have anybody that can change games in the secondary the way Troy Polamalu can. And although I think he's a tad overrated, he wasn't overrated last year.
No, he had a good year. Well, they're all, obviously both of them are kind of at the peak of their career right now. I think more so Fitzgerald. I think he was just ridiculous. I don't think he can live up. It's kind of like Randy Moss in his first year as a Patriot. I think he was, you know, people were saying, how many touchdowns is he going to have this year? 16, 18, 25? Well, I mean, you can have a 10 or 12 and have a great year, but compared to his previous year, you're not going to live up to it. I don't think he can live up to kind of what people now expect from him as the best receiver in the game based on the end of last year. So I think he's in for a little bit of a drop off.
I would agree
there.
With that.
Which, again, he'll still be one of the top receivers in the game in all likelihood. He just won't be at that ridiculous level. Joel and Merrimack. Hey, Paul and Andy, how's it going? Good. Paul?
Pizza's okay. Going well.
Is it well cooked? Looks a little like undercooked.
Yeah, a little bit.
Slices 1, 2, or 3 and 4?
3 and 4. It's actually 2.
But their slices are the size of my head.
The problem is they sometimes places that they don't cook the pizza, they don't cook a pepperoni pizza and then just give you slices. They have a cheese pizza and then they put the pepperoni on it. There's a difference.
They didn't fill your order and they were trying to rush you out a couple slices of pizza.
Exactly.
They didn't have it ready. I agree on the McNair thing. He was a great quarterback and an outstanding athlete. A little side McNair note. I saw him in the last couple weeks on Pros versus Joes. Was terrible. Was trying to play his runaround style and throw the ball. Couldn't reach the line of scrimmage in the event that I saw.
We were talking about that on Tuesday. He was awful.
Horrendous. Just absolutely fall off the map. Could never believe this guy was an NFL MVP type quarterback. But he screwed up, and unfortunately he paid the ultimate price for it. That is true. I was reading an article the other day, I think it was on ESPN, about McNair being a Hall of Fame candidate. My impression is that I wouldn't have considered him for it before he died, and I wouldn't change that just because he died. Well, that's how you should be thinking. I don't think his body of work, quote-unquote, supports a Hall of Fame nomination. What do you guys think? Okay, now to my main point.
I don't even think he's close.
I don't either. And I don't really think he'll get all that much consideration.
I hope not.
I just don't see it really happening. He was a good player. He was a high-level player, but I don't think he should, especially in his era. I mean, his era overlaps with guys like Manning and Brady, some of the greatest that Favre earlier in his career. I mean,
listen,
top 10
like
type
I said,
quarterbacks.
I don't think you could necessarily weigh what he did in stats. I understand that, but
he was a warrior.
He wasn't a great quarterback. He was a good quarterback and a great leader. He right. was the guy for that offense for whatever, 99, 98. To like 2003 or 4.
Yeah, I don't think he was surrounded by a ton
I don't
of
think
talent.
I got to be honest with you. I think Drew was better than he was.
Possibly.
Gets and into I don't our think, thing. And I don't think Drew's a Hall of Fame candidate.
Gets into our what a franchise quarterback. McNair was a franchise quarterback for them. He was the I mean, he was
well,
the
he was
leader.
Good enough
he was
to
the
win
guy. But he wasn't elite Hall of Fame top 10 all-time quarterback like Brady and Manning and Favre and some of the other guys that are
no
his contemporaries.
Question. No question.
Now we get to the main point. I was thinking about changing the question, quote-unquote, a bit, to see if you would change your response to it. Here it is. You have Tom Brady for 10 more seasons, or you go 19-0 and beat Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl.
Oh, give me a break with that dumbass question.
We know
question.
It's not possible, both
That's
being
a dumbass
the
answer. Question.
But this is a what-if scenario. So would that change your original thought? I know it would change mine. I was originally all for the 10 more years, but if it was Peyton Manning, I will take Brady riding off into the sunset. Have a great one, guys, and keep up the good show. Good?
Good? That's all we get?
I don't think
it wouldn't
it
change
would,
my thinking
I don't think
one
it would
bit.
Change my thinking either, and we're kind of on different sides. I don't really see what the difference is.
Yeah, it wouldn't change my thinking. I still get back to the I want the guy that's good that makes me good for as long as possible.
I'm not a big fan of titles being overvalued or undervalued based on who they come against. You know what I'm saying? Celtics, it was great to beat the Lakers a couple years ago. Wouldn't have been the same. Sure it would have been. The Sox, if they didn't have to go through the Yankees in 04, to me, you win a title, you have to beat everybody in the league. Uh-huh. And you do that, and you deserve it. I don't necessarily think it would be more impressive if they beat Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl.
See, and I think that's kind of the same mentality I take to the 19-0. You won a Super Bowl, and I know you were perfect that season, but I don't value it any higher, and I'm not willing to trade Tom Brady away, essentially, because of that. To me, it's another title. Okay, I won it. I reset the calendar, and I start competing for another one again the next year. I don't have that, especially Fred and Eric seem to be all over that history. That history just means so much to them, and to me, it's kind of a loser mentality.
I got to be honest with you. As more time goes by here, I am wavering more and more. I hate it. Because you know how I am with sports arguments. And I talked about this with B-Lo on Tuesday. I can't believe...
Oh, he went on and on, I bet.
I can't believe that I am so non-committal about this. I think it's a great debate because I can really see both sides. But usually when those kinds of things happen, I am adamantly on one side or the other. I am not adamantly on one. I think that you've made a lot of good points about this.
I agree.
And I think they have too.
I don't. WebRadioPages.com, WebRadioPages.com. If you want to chime in, the emails keep rolling in. Oh, Mike St. Olens, interesting. 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482, if you want to join the show via telephone. Have you seen those new washer and dryer combos they have? Not the old-fashioned kind that stack, the kind now that you put your clothes in, it washes them, and then it dries them, and you're done. It's one machine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. Very much intrigued. Not just for me, because I don't do a lot of laundry, but my wife is a big, puts the laundry in and then forgets it's there, and then if you don't dry it right away, it kind of gets a little, like, musty smell to
it. Yeah, I get the delay. I get irritated on weekends, the few times that I do laundry. Admittedly, I don't do it a lot. There's always a load of laundry in the dryer.
Right.
It drives me crazy.
So one machine, first of all, you know, floor space takes up less force, but just put it in, and a couple hours later, the whole... And if they could just fold it at the end, that would be the ultimate piece of machinery.
And hang it up?
I don't mind hanging it. I don't like folding.
See, I hate the putting it away.
Yeah, so does my wife. That's why I generally put it away. She does all the rest of it. She does a fine job, too. This is unclassified. What? Why does it say that at the top of the email? Does it always say that from...
He's in the military.
Really? We should be classified. We're pretty important. National security. This is from... Pratt Pie in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Hey, Paul and Andy, you guys need Fred to keep you on track to Pat's news. Yeah, right. The guy who sits there and goes, oh, what's that thing? Is that a cock gun for my car? That's what I need. I mean, the guy has less of a focus
than
I do.
You're damn Skippy.
What kind of gun was that?
Cock. That's a cock gun. Paul, get your mind out of the gutter.
Our show should make cocks bigger.
But I understand that. You know the joke you've missed, by the way? While you're recycling the Dan Copen is now a lawyer joke. The guy's name is Patrick Cox. Pat Cox. That's what Michael Jackson got in trouble for, and that's why everybody started to question his talent.
Get it? What are you talking
about? Pat Cox. You know the guy, every time the stupid commercial comes on, the lawyer commercial, you go, Dan Copen's a lawyer now or something. And Eric goes, that was my joke.
Stop
it plays
stop
out the
stop,
same
stop,
every time.
Stop talking!
Every single time. But his name is Pat Cox. So you use that next time. It'll throw Eric
I can honestly
off.
Tell you the last time that we did that, this show is the first time I've ever seen that commercial.
It's happened more than once. Maybe Eric really did start saying it, and you just jumped on and stole his joke. That brings me to my question.
Didn't we all steal everything from Eric? Isn't that what he claims?
Probably. Not just us. Al Gore stole the idea for the internet from Eric. Did you
That's
know that?
That's a good point. What about global warming?
Probably. How come so many other teams in the NFL are speeding off and signing their rookies to contract? But the Pats are the only one. The Pats have only signed Rich Ornberger. I expect a few more at this point. Because they always do it late. Don't they always do it like the 10 days before the start of training camp? Week, 10 days, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect now that the 4th of July is over, that weekend is over, I would expect maybe even the beginning part of next week, you might see them in quick. Probably like two, you might hear two or three in a day. Mike Reese is usually at the forefront of that. He gets that information pretty quickly. So I would be surprised to see.
But why? Why do other teams? Some teams seem to really get it done early, try to do it fast, and somebody's already done with theirs, right? I believe one team or two teams.
Pittsburgh had signed everybody but their first rounder.
What would play into the philosophy of doing it in June and or waiting till the end of July? Or?
I don't know, and especially with the Patriots this year, is they don't have a first-round pick, so it's not like you're waiting for the slots right. And whatnot. But I don't know.
I mean, because it has to be philosophy, because you could sign your sixth and seventh round picks pretty much any time, I would think.
Yeah.
Is it simply as they go on vacation and that's what they do after vacation?
I was going to say that.
Is there like
a
manual, a Belichick manual, and, you know, this time of year we prepare for the combine, this time of year we do this, this time of year we're scouting ourselves, and then in late July it says here that we sign the draft picks?
No, I mean, I think there might be something to that. It might be just when they decide to take their time off.
We should ask Bill.
But they've rarely had trouble with it. Now, they have had some. Watson, you know, was certainly one of them. And they've had periodic other guys, too. But I don't, especially with no first-round pick, I don't really anticipate a problem.
Nah. As for the great debate, why should I as a fan be subject to picking one option? I want the Pats to have a 19-0 season and Brady for the next 10 years to keep us competitive and win more championships. So screw the debate, in my opinion. But if I had to pick one, I'd side with Andy, woohoo, and have Brady around for another 10 more seasons. QBs like Brady don't come around too often. Pratt, you are a genius. That's why you are part of our tremendous military in this country. And it's swung around. For a while there was 50-50 in the emails. Today's emails are pro-Andy. We got some 10 years of Brady emails here, baby.
Quarterbacks like Brady don't come around every day. 19-0 seasons have never come around.
Yeah, that's true. Right until they make it the 21-0 season when they expand the schedule.
Just saying.
Dime a dozen, those things. Strippers. This is the LaDainian Tomlinson question, courtesy of Strippers. He's 30. Is he done? His yards per carry has been declining. Is he done being a 1,300-yard back and the 5 yards per carry back? Paul Perillo, what say you? He hasn't been a 5 yards per carry
back. I think he's done being a 5 yard per carry guy. I do. What do you think?
Well, first of all, he was only a 5 yards per carry guy twice in his career. 2006 and 2003, 4.7 and 07 is obviously good. 3.8 in 2008.
Wasn't it 3.6? Last year? I thought he had the lowest average per carry of his career last year. He didn't?
It was 3.8 here.
Okay.
3.6 was 2001.
I think that he is done being the 5-yard per carry guy and having those really gaudy stats, you know, 28, 30 touchdowns. But I don't think he's
completely done. Speaking of setting
the
bar high, he had 1,100 yards, 11 touchdowns, 52 catches, and another touchdown. I mean, Lawrence Maroney
I don't think he's completely
sell
done.
His soul to have those numbers.
I think he could easily have 2 or 3 more years like that, and I don't think that's done.
Right.
What does he have for total yards right now?
11,760.
I think he'd have a shot. What's it, 17 and change?
Couldn't tell you.
Doc, all-time rushing leader, Emmitt Smith.
If he needs 6,000 yards, that's a lot of yards.
Thanks. Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, if the debate is whether he's
I think he has a shot.
Or if he's going to get 6,000, I'll take done, because I think that's more likely than he'll get 6,000 yards.
I don't think he's done being a 1,200-yard guy. I mean, I think he could 1,300.
5 years of 1,200 yards.
I didn't say he's a lock. I said I think he has a shot.
Emmitt Smith.
Thanks. How many yards?
18,355.
18,3. Okay, that's a lot.
18,3.
I thought it was 17.
So he needs 6,600 yards. That's a lot of yards, Paul. He's not getting there.
I still say he has a shot.
We all have shots, Paul. Sometimes we just don't take advantage of them.
What
Jonas,
if he came to the Patriots?
What if he came to the Patriots? What would happen?
Would he do it?
No.
Why?
I just don't think he would.
Why?
Committee approach.
Oh, that doesn't work for Lawrence Maroney. He's going to have a comma.
Yeah, you understand when I say comma.
You have a zero after the comma?
If the last digit's a zero, I still win. You know what I mean? 1-0-0-0. I just think he's going to be right around 1,000. I think he's going to be healthier this year, get enough carries, have enough big plays. I think he's going to be over 1,000.
I think he'll be around 1,000, too. I just don't think he'll be over it.
I've backed off from the 1,400 I predicted heading into last season, in which he had
4. I was with you on that one.
So, you know, we'll see, but
4? You mean literally 4?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was sorry.
Because he certainly didn't get 400.
No. But I still, I like that comparison that I've referenced a few times in, like, Ask PFW, that D'Angelo Williams was nobody until he had the breakout year. And I still hold that maybe Maroney can have the breakout year. this year.
He had a monster touchdown total, too, D'Angelo Williams. He had like 18 touchdowns.
I believe he had 2 receiving and 18 rushing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So I'm holding out. And, you know, it makes for a nice story that they were pals from the draft class. And Williams has said he thinks Maroney has the talent to do it and all that crap. So I'm still holding out hope on that, Paul. And let's not forget, Williams did it by splitting carries with James Stewart. No. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Stewart.
Jonathan, yes. Not Jimmy Stewart.
Well, as soon as I said James Stewart, I was like, that can't be right. That doesn't
And I was nodding
right.
my head, yeah.
Another slice of pizza, yeah. Paul, okay, this email's not for me. Just you, Paul.
Okay.
It seems to me that, while Paul and Eric, so you addressed it to Paul, and now you're talking about Paul in it, are capable game managers as hosts of PFW, Fred is a playmaker. So you're a game manager of a host, Paul.
I take that as a compliment.
With all the good and bad that comes with it, he can save the show or Fred it up any given Tuesday or Thursday. He can carry the show on his back or break the hearts of PFW fans until the next week. You can love Frank or you can hate him, but you cannot tune in.
You cannot tune in.
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo. He's like, there's no f***ing gabagoo.
Andy, by the way, screw yourself, Jonas, because I don't feel like this is going to go very successfully for me moving forward in the sentence.
Okay.
Is Rohan Davey. I was right.
Yes, you were right.
He's certainly capable, but he still makes you wonder what he's doing in the game in the first place. That was well said. But let's remember, Rohan Davey had the confidence of Bill Belichick for a couple seasons there.
And he was also not capable. No offense, Andy.
I get all the measurables. I just don't put it together on the air. Strong arm, tall.
Well, not tall.
That's
Big
true.
Head.
Todd Porter. Quick questions. I guess I can say it. It's Gay Pride Week here in Canada. I swear I saw Eric on TV on the front of a float wearing a black leather thong and a green sweater.
I'm not doing anything. No.
Just saying, if you want to know what he did on his gaycation. Can I read all these things?
A little late to ask that.
Andy,
just go with the Fred theory. They all love Fred. Go. That's what Fred would do. He would just read exactly what was written.
It's true. Works for him, but, you know, he's more established. Hypothetically, if a fat, bald writer thought game manager was the most important part of a QB's game, why would his favorite QB be Drew Bledsoe?
Why would you continue to send the same email in show after show after show? I read that on Tuesday, Todd, and I told you, that's what the problem with Drew Bledsoe was.
I think we just got the answer to, where's the anger? It's right there. That's the anger.
Did they tell you about that?
No.
Jim in Texas.
Who's they?
Well, Doc, Toyota.
I haven't talked to Toyota. All he did was drop off the lunch.
Listen.
I don't talk to Doc, except when he's in the glass and I look right at him like I am right now and pretend he's the listener.
That was the problem with Drew Bledsoe, by the way, is he didn't manage the game. He had all the playmaking ability. He didn't manage the game.
Right.
He wasn't good enough.
Bill said no one ever lost by punting, and Drew said, screw this,
screw
I'm
that.
Not punting.
Sling it.
Right.
It was equal parts the funniest and also the most ironic part of that Super Bowl 36 thing where...
Where is Jim in Texas?
He says that. No, Jim in Texas called in and said
so
he had nothing to make fun of me about because I've really mellowed and I've been so nice and... I'm not angry like I used to be for like the last year now.
He said you didn't get into fights
anymore. And I was just, I got in one fight with that woman in Babies R Us and he started bringing up, he goes,
Golden
what about,
Corral.
He goes, what about that, that thing?
Yeah, there was another one.
In the airport. What? I've never been to a Golden Corral.
Some restaurant where they left their plate on your table.
Oh, that was Fuddruckers.
He denies in there. Oh yeah, that was Fuddruckers.
But I didn't get in a fight. I picked up the...
And Eric never did nude photography, right?
I didn't.
No, never heard of Misty May.
I don't know how you could possibly compare the two. I volunteered the information to my story. Eric, where the information was uncovered by somebody else, he still denied it. I told you that the woman left the tray on my table. I picked it up and said, thanks, I'll get this for you. There was no fight. It was just a sarcastic remark by me. But anyway, Jim in Texas.
You are bouncing all over the place.
He went on and on. He goes, Spaz no, what
radio.
About that fight you got in at the airport? Basically, the whole fictitious argument that you made up for me that never happened.
You got in the guy's face. The guy with the beard, you got in his face a little bit.
I did not.
You did.
You were right there.
Do I need to call in the president of this organization?
I'm going
to
be,
is that
yes.
His title?
He thinks so. CFO, is he?
CFO. Because Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, and a high-ranking member of the front office... saw you standing there and getting the guy's face. You were shaking your head. You were doing the finger thing.
That, but that's not. But that's very untrue. See, this is where you're
very
perpetuating
untrue.
A fraud. I see what you did there. But once again, you're making up lies.
You're looking up
as opposed to you know, just stating lies.
Since you already said his name, do you really need his title?
Well, I'm looking for his title.
It's not really a controversial
chief
topic.
Administrative officer, and he would wholeheartedly back
so
me
said,
up.
Cow.
Because he was there. And I will also add, Andy, had you...
It's just on a rant.
Had you, Fred...
How's he babbling about?
I'm done with my pizza. Had you, Fred, and especially Jim Hausman, not been within hearing distance that day, there's a pretty good chance I could have gotten to an argument.
It was a good one, I'll admit.
Now, would you also admit that had you been in my shoes that...
I would have lost it when I got to the counter and the woman took her water bottle and walked off for an apparent break.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
I would have sworn.
But anyway, I was very surprised to hear Jim in Texas say that I had mellowed.
Yeah, you have.
When everybody says that I am angry.
You are.
I'm not angry.
I like to
I just hate you.
Of Brady as a great risk assessor.
Yes, I agree. That's example. That's game managing to me.
He will make passes in the fourth quarter that he would never even try in the first quarter. He picks his spots to be aggressive.
Yes, game managing to me. Not to the general public, game managing is like the scarlet letter. To me, that's game managing, is knowing when to and not to take chances with the football.
Okay. Did you guys get the hail? Looked like some people had to get their snowblowers out.
Yeah, I guess it was really bad in like the Metro West area.
Not much to talk about in July. Ding and dong reminded me of a young Eric and Paul.
I don't really like the tone there.
Which one are you?
No,
I know the answer to that, first of all.
I don't care about that. I don't like the fact.
The rich, pompous one is
yeah,
Eric.
Yeah, I know. But, oh, okay. I thought you were characterizing me as the rich one.
No, Eric would be. I don't know if Eric has money or not, but he's the rich, pompous one.
Yeah. One of these weeks, he's going to come in with like a. You know, a glass of wine or one of those brandy.
Swirling it.
What's that? What do they call it?
Snifter?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going
and
with.
And a smoker's jacket, right?
Yeah. He'll be smoking something.
Someone.
Sam in Chicago. Hey, joining the show late. You didn't miss anything. Thanks for your July Patriots input. Well, you're welcome, and you'll get it at some point in July because you didn't have it
today. At some point, they'll make some news that we can relay.
I don't hear Fred. He's not here. I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed Tuesday's show. Now I know you're lying, Sam. And listening to you now, yes, I agree. But we don't know what you were listening to when you typed the email in.
I agree. I'm sure I made a good point at some point.
I was watching the 2007 highlight reel, and I was amazed at how easy all the Welker/Moss TDs looked. Even the flea flicker from Moss to Brady was spectacular. Looking forward to 2009. I can't wait, but I think we surprised a lot of teams in 2007, and I predict a lot closer games this season. Thanks, Sam in Chicago. It wasn't exactly easy on the. He's talking about the double pass to Pittsburgh, right? Over Anthony Smith.
Yeah, Moss dropped the first pass.
Right. Brady threw a duck. Gaffney had to fair catch, yeah. And they almost let coverage get back into it. And Moss made some look easy that weren't really, like, in Miami when there was, like, three guys there and he just out-jumped them. He made them look easy, but kind of as the ball's approaching, they don't look as easy as they ended up.
Right. Hey,
how are
in
you?
In terms of, we don't really have any Patriot news at all, but...
Do we not have any?
The one thing that I didn't
my
get
cousin,
your...
I had a 4th of July party. My cousin has a thing for Wes Welker, went to Kevin Fox charity softball game.
Yeah.
And guess who the only player who didn't show up was?
Welker?
Wes Welker.
What do you mean the only player who didn't show up?
Well,
like every other
like
player
billed
was there?
Or whatever. She was very disappointed.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
I told her that he often travels with pretty attractive companions.
Yeah, yes, he does.
And looks like Nick Green, the terrible shortstop.
Toby Maguire, I still go with.
I mean, for the Red Sox. Okay, what'd you want to say?
Well, we don't have any real news, but the McGinnis thing kind of surfaced again. I don't know if we had talked about it with you. We talked about it on Tuesday.
Who's
you have
we?
Any interest, me and Bilo, any interest at all in re-signing McGinnis?
In October, maybe.
I don't
not
remember
right
if we got, we might have gotten to it last week when you were here.
I want
to
see
I'm
Craven Woods can do.
Yeah, I do
I'm
too.
All for giving the youth movement a window. If it clearly stinks, then sure. At some point, I'll call Willie and say, you want to play? And I saw Seau kind of left the door open as well.
Yeah.
And to which I joked to you, you know, who gets to wear 55 or what happens if they both sign? Seau I thought was good last year. I thought he looked like a capable NFL contributor when he came in December. Now, maybe I was comparing that to Roosevelt Colvin, who I didn't think looked like a capable NFL contributor.
Or you were also in the back of your mind thinking, hey, this isn't bad for a guy who spent the first 3 months of the season surfing.
Yeah, there's certainly a part of that. But if I had to call him, I'd feel cautiously optimistic that he could fill the void that I had. If Brewski gets hurt, or God forbid Mayo or one of the guys on the inside get hurt. Now, if I remember correctly, he was the one who was embarrassed by Deion Branch, correct? On the right sideline?
Yep.
And then he brought it back across the field. Yeah,
that was his first game, though.
I'm just saying, if I'm going to tell the tale, I need to say he was embarrassed.
Well, you
That specific play, reminded me of John Lynch. Yeah. Who I deemed shouldn't be on an NFL field. So I need to cover all my bases and, you know, tell it as I saw it. But I thought in general for the sum total of the month, he was okay. I'd have him back. I'd have him back now. I know he has no interest in coming back until.
Well, that's the thing. McGinnis wants to come back now. Seau doesn't. He doesn't want to come back until October or November.
Why would you want to go to an NFL training camp if you don't have to?
Right. So, I mean, I think there's a reasonable chance that you see one of those guys at some point. But if it were my decision, I would do exactly what you said. I'd wait and see what I have with Woods and Crable and Red
mine would be
at all and
total need with McGinnis. Yes. Whereas Seau, I might just bring aboard late in the year for depth, even if I don't flat out need it at that point, because I felt pretty good about how he played last year.
I don't think I felt as good about how he played last year as you did.
Okay. We can agree to disagree.
Okay.
I know that's not okay in this seat. Normally, Fred would be yelling at you saying, you idiot, and you'd say right, and he'd say right, and then you'd end the argument even though nothing was resolved.
And right? I'd look at you and say, did you hear what he did there? He did it again.
Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. If you're on vacation listening to us at the beach and you're female and in a bikini, send us a photo of you listening to us at the beach, because we ask all our listeners, right, Paul, to send an email in showing us where they listen to the podcast.
And
we need to... diversify.
If you happen to be at that same beach with the same women wearing bikinis, and actually, you're a man, are you lying on your stomach drilling for oil?
And actually, I need to clarify, you don't need to be wearing a bikini.
Right.
You can be wearing nothing. If it's a nude beach, it's a nude beach. I mean, in France and across the pond, we have a lot of listeners, and they have a lot of nude beaches over there.
When in Rome.
Yes. Sam in Chicago again. I think I just read his email. He's double dipping, he says. Hey again, question. With Josh McDaniels out west, do you think we would have the same success with a backup in the event anything were to happen to Brady? No, Paul. And I'm not sure it's directly related to Josh McDaniels. I just don't think it's the same.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between the fourth year in the league and the second year in the league and stuff like that. But,
and there's a difference between Kevin O'Connell and Matt Cassel and the time and everything. There's a lot of
variables. I don't know.
I mean,
it's hard to accurately assess that without having seen more of Kevin O'Connell play. But
what have you thought of him so far in non-contact off-season work?
Okay. Haven't been wowed.
Does it worry you that an issue that we saw last year, the short accuracy, remains an issue?
Well,
at what point do you say
he's
working on it or he's not going to get it fixed?
What I saw last year, and I think you remember this, was seemed like a lot of completely reworking of his mechanics, his motion.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen that this year.
With McDaniels, with a video on him, with all that crap. Yeah.
Now, he's a little bit, he was off with the short stuff. I wrote about that in a blog post that I did about the backup quarterbacks, and also with a Pulse story that will be appearing next week in PFW. Well, this is PFW in progress. That's what Fred taught me.
No, I know. I was talking to him.
Okay.
I wanted the horn.
It's coming. Wait for it.
When the clip starts, the truck is actually a mile down the road. You have to wait for it to get there before the horn plays. Good Lord.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know,
you ever do that with trucks where you do the little arm pumping?
Oh, when I was a kid all the time.
Oh, I should stop doing that.
But
is
your
that
kid
like a jersey?
Your kids are in the car, of course.
Right. You shouldn't wear pro jerseys anymore. Yeah. Same thing.
I do it when I go to get the mail. I'm waiting at the mailbox. A truck goes by. I give them the old...
Are you that much of a loser that you would do something like that?
You'll never know.
Yes, I do know. I've worked with you for a long time.
James in England checking in. I think the hardest game against a team that sucks is going to be the Bucks in London. That's a good idea.
I think that's going to be a cakewalk.
I do too, but I was just praising the idea. Why do you have to just shoot it down immediately?
No, because I think Tampa Bay is going to be that bad.
Actually, I was thinking about that coming in today. A driver passed me who looked a little bit like Pete Mangurian, which made me think back to the coach who coaches the Bucks now.
Raheem
Morris.
Morris.
Saying at the Combine, telling me that Pete Mangurian taught him everything he knows about the coaching business due to their time together at Cornell. They're going to stink. He's going to be a terrible head coach. And that is a just that. I don't know what they're doing there. I don't know if they're just cleansing, doing that ratings thing we've talked about with radio. But I think that is a sinking ship, pun intended. There is nothing good is coming out of Tampa in the next few years.
I agree.
There will be a whole new GM, and they'll probably bring in a big name guy at some point to replace these two who are just young first timers. I don't know what a cower.
They have all of that cap space too that they're not filling.
I think they're just cleansing the books or something.
It might be.
I think there's something going on down there. It's
maybe
they
have some money trouble and they're just trying to save some money this year.
Did he buy a team or did he not buy a soccer team, Glazier?
I thought he had one, didn't he?
Manchester United, right?
Right. No. Yeah.
We're on the radio.
I think that's right.
Which one, Manchester United?
Yes.
Because they hated him. They were very anti him for a while.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I think they are going to be a debacle. Anyway. James says, I don't think it'll be hard because the Bucks will have a particularly good game plan for us. I just think it'll be hard because of the weather and the field. If you look, that's true.
The weather and the field.
They're 0-2 over there.
They've been an issue both games, yes.
If you look back at the game the Giants and the Fish had in London when it rained, the Fish were very close to winning that game in a season where they went on to win only one game, and the Giants went on T-I-O, beat us in a game that shall not be named. For those that don't know, Wembley does not use field turf and is not made for huge American football players, but for lightweight soccer players. Anything can happen in the game in London. Yeah, what are they going to do about that? That's becoming a serious issue. I mean, 2 years, you'd think you'd be able to fix it, right? All these gurus they have, turf guys, I mean.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about the climate in London in mid-October, but it certainly seems that they've gotten a lot of rain both years. If that's a normal occurrence at that time of year, then they need to do something about it.
We've gotten a lot of rain.
Well, we've gotten tons of rain, but it's not normal around here. I wouldn't say...
Never have I wasted more vacation days.
Right, but I wouldn't say around
Still
here...
Still haven't used the air conditioner.
Hey, in July, you need to really have arrangements made to have, you know, people have the ability to get out of the rain because it's rained every day for June and July this year. I mean, I wouldn't say that that's the case, but in London, if that's the case, if they normally get a lot of rain at that, in October, they need to figure out a way to better service the teams because they can't play on that.
He said service the teams.
I love saying those things knowing where he's going to go.
This is from Strippers, and he wants us to please answer this person. This is a guy that ripped the Patriots and Belichick on a board. Strippers said that Bill is the best coach in the NFL, and this guy apparently went nuts. He is not the best coach in the NFL. He is the only coach in the NFL who has been convicted of cheating and required to pay a $500,000 fine. Brady is back equals nobody knows how he or his leg will hold up. Added Galloway equals a loser on several teams who always had speed and never had heart. Fred Taylor equals a very good running back 3 years ago and also proved that they don't believe in any other back on the roster. Springs equals in his prime he was a B+. Now he is barely a C. Bodden equals the one good player they added this year, but he is still not as good as Hobbs, who is being...
Oh, please.
Who is... That one struck a nerve with Paul. Tomlin won the Super Bowl last year. That makes him a better coach at the moment. Sperano and Smith both did a better job last year than Belichick with far inferior teams. I don't seem to remember seeing the Patriots win a division last year, let alone a conference or a Super Bowl. Before you claim Brady got hurt, in quotes, as the reason, keep in mind that just proves Brady is a Hall of Fame QB. It doesn't prove Belichick is the best coach. In fact, it helps to prove he is not. Hell, Jeff Fisher went to the Super Bowl with his backup QB after his starter had an emotional meltdown midseason. That makes him a hell of a coach. So in 2008, Sperano, Smith, Fisher, Harbaugh with a rookie QB and Tomlin all did a better job of coaching than Belichick did.
When did Jeff?
And they
wait a
didn't
minute.
Cheat. I don't know.
When did Jeff Fisher go to a Super Bowl?
Did you notice the long pause I had? I didn't know what he was writing about. I think
Jeff Fisher went to a Super Bowl in '99.
Yeah, and they didn't cheat the game to reach their goals.
It's so ridiculous.
I think a lot of the arguments in here are ridiculous.
Yeah. First of all, you say that Belichick is not that good of a coach, and then you detail three or four of the free agent acquisitions that they've made. What does that have to do with Belichick's ability to be a coach? Nothing.
And the other thing is, you picked the 1 year he didn't make the playoffs to say he didn't make the playoffs.
Now, the only thing I would agree with is something that we talked about last year. Everybody wanted to give Belichick the coach of the year last year, and I felt there were other guys that did a better job than he did with less talent, even after Brady got hurt, and I agree with that. But that doesn't mean I don't think Bill's the best coach. Matter of fact, I don't even think it's close. I don't think there's anybody else that's even close at number two.
Didn't we have that problem the other day when somebody asked us to replace Belichick with another coach? Who would you...
Can't do
and
it.
And we didn't really come up with any candidates.
No. I mean, I think there's some good coaches in the league. I don't think there are a lot, however.
I don't think... I'm torn on Fisher. Because everybody includes him among the great coaches. And his longevity and winning in various times.
Is that a lot of losing, like bad
years? Yeah. And I think bad decisions and situations that I'm not sure he's handled well. So I'm kind of torn on him. But to me, part of being a great coach is longevity. You have to prove it over an extended... Belichick has done that.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's not a ton of those guys to choose. I think Tony Dungy was a great coach, but he's not in the league anymore.
I think Tony Dungy was a great coach. I'm not sure that Tomlin is.
I'm not either. I'm certainly not ready to stamp it.
Now, a guy who hasn't proven it over a long haul that I like and you really don't is John Fox. He's inconsistent.
Right.
You don't really like him very much. I think he's a pretty good coach.
I would put him kind of in the Fisher category. I'm a little torn. Sometimes, first of all, I fell in love with him seeing him on a daily basis for a week at the Super Bowl. That's how
probably
I kind
why,
of fell in love
I mean,
with him.
Their performance in that game is probably why I feel about because I really thought that we were much better
but he
than
has,
Carolina.
He has teams when I think
that was
he's talented
team.
And they haven't won to the degree I think they should have. I kind of go back and forth on
him. Well, you know what I think is their quarterback is very schizo, and I think that it's hard to win like that consistently.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what separates when you have Brady and Manning. Andy Reid's a guy I think is pretty good coach. He's been pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Five. You know, you can make the argument he hasn't won the big one.
Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher, I think, was a good coach, but not a great coach.
See, I don't think he's a great coach. And part of it is, I think Pittsburgh is a great organization. I think they're coordinators. They have stability and scheme and all that. That's part of why I'm nowhere near ready to say Tomlin's a great coach, because I think he's a game manager of a coach right now.
They've
I don't
developed
think
a system that they know
game.
That works,
right.
And it works.
And he kept it. I'll give him credit. He didn't try to come in with his big cojones, and I'm changing everything up and doing
whatever I want to
do.
We're running
the
Tampa 2. That's
right.
What he was a Tampa 2 coach.
So, but I kind of feel the same about Bill Cowher. He was there for a long time, but I thought he lost a lot of games that he probably should have won.
I agree.
Some of them involving the New England Patriots.
A lot of them.
I'm not – and he's going to be a hot commodity. You know, he's already a $10 million a year coach guy that somebody's going to bring in at some point to Tampa, someplace like that. I wouldn't feel overly good about making – I'd feel better about Tony Dungy if he becomes a year or two out.
Now, I also think Coughlin's a pretty good coach.
I think he's better than very good.
Don't get me wrong.
Sometimes he wears out his welcome.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play for him for 5 minutes, right. But I think he's a pretty good coach.
Right. Okay, that was a good one.
But Bill, I think Bill is just so much better than the next best guy.
Yeah, and you're an idiot, this guy who wrote all this junk.
Call
him idiot. Say he's not even worth your time.
This is a guy
too stupid to even debate.
He just hates the Patriots.
Right, he's just a
pretty
clown.
Clear.
Anybody who brings up Spygate in the very first line of any kind of
clown. It's really
clown.
Whether or not you think Spygate was important, you can't just dismiss what he's done as a coach and some of the innovative things. I mean, what did Spygate have to do with recognizing the possible need of Troy Brown in the secondary, for example, and some of the other things like that he's done? What did Spygate have to do with that?
You think he just thinks of those things? Or you know how he talks about how he loves talking to coaches, he loves going to spring training or going to Florida basketball? Do you think he sees some stupid little thing with some backup point guard on the end and says, oh, A equals B, and I need... Do you think that, like, light bulbs go off occasionally?
Yeah, I don't know what the details of it are, but yes. I think
he's
picks
like
up something
an idea
with
man.
Everything. Yeah.
Bill Belichick, Andy Hart, same person.
I've often said that, Andy.
Strippers, you know, continuing the great debate. 19-0 and Belichick retires, or 18-1 and you have him for 10 more years?
I don't know. It's.
I'll go 18-1 because it's the same theory that I use with Brady.
Yeah, I think that there's more. See, I think it's more damaging losing the coach than it would be losing the quarterback.
Probably, because he's also the personnel guy, the guy making. But I use the same theory. Those two are the reason I've been among the top in football for a decade now. I keep them as long as possible.
What I'm trying to say is, while I think it would be hard to maintain your competitive level without Brady, I think it would be harder to do so without Belichick.
Okay. Hey, guys, okay. And the fat bastard. Yeah, you, Paul.
There's only two of us.
What do you mean?
Hey, guys, and the fat bastard.
Again, that's the anger, because I just read the email.
Where's my anger? I must have missed the anger.
There's only two of us.
There's only two of us.
This is Mike in Erie, PA. It's your boy, Mike.
My boy, Mike?
Hey, you like him.
Do I?
Don't you guys swap emails a lot?
Okay.
Do you think that when Brady's contract comes up in 2010, there's the possibility...
Yes. Started playing the role of Andy Hart.
...that he gives the Patriots a hometown discount and lets the Pats use that money to keep himself surrounded with elite talent, being that he is, capitalized, married to the richest supermodel in the world, all prenuptials aside. You think there's a prenup?
I would think, yeah.
Who slid it to who?
I don't know. They probably both need to protect their assets, though, don't you think?
And she's got one nice.
Yeah.
You all right?
I'm waiting for this question to be answered now.
I don't think so.
You don't think you'll give him any type of hometown discount?
Well, any type of hometown. I don't think he took a hometown discount the first time.
I don't know either.
Everybody else does. So what are you going to do?
He got a Richard Seymour-like big money deal, very up there.
That he's going to be able to sign again.
Patriots just haven't handed out a lot of fake contracts. When they hand out contracts, they're usually pretty realistic. The people get the money involved, whether it's big or little.
Yeah, a couple early weren't in the real. Lawyer Malloy's wasn't. You know, they
Web radio producer popped up on my screen.
You okay? As he's
Does
like,
that mean we have a phone call?
Yeah, so why don't
Craig
you look at that?
In North Carolina?
Okay.
Craig, how the hell are you?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Better now, Craig, that you're chiming in.
Yeah, I hear you, bud. Hey, you guys are doing a good job.
Good. Not great.
That's why we're the A-team.
Hey, let's talk some football. I got a question.
I got an answer.
With all the improvements that the Jets have made defensively, even though they've got a rookie quarterback who supposedly is ahead of schedule, what do you guys think they're going to do this season? You think they're going to give us some competition?
No.
I don't either. And basically, Craig, it's because of the rookie quarterback.
Yes.
It's hard. I mean, I know that Ryan and Flacco did a great job last year. And if Sanchez comes in and does a similar kind of job, then, yeah, I think they could be competitive. But I think those guys, to do that in the first year like that, a few and far between.
Yeah, what's Belichick's and Brady's record playing against rookie quarterbacks? Are they undefeated?
Well, I don't know if they're undefeated, but I'll take Belichick's record against anything. You know, they make a lot of the, on grass, indoors. Their record at all times is pretty impressive, and I can't imagine it's any less than 80% winning in any circumstance.
But we have seen them struggle with first-time quarterbacks, whether they be rookies or not. First
guys that they haven't
guys,
seen, them,
right?
Yeah, but and rookies, I think, kind of mitigates that a little bit.
A little bit, but I'd be more worried if I'm Mark Sanchez the second time through than the first, because you might be able to sneak up on him. You might make some throws he doesn't think you can make, or make some reads he doesn't expect you to make, because you know everybody says that coming out of the system at USC, he is pro-ready, and that's a complex offense, and he's not just Joe Average coming into the league. That mentally has prepared him despite the inexperience. But I'd be a little worried the second time through if I were him. But I don't think his coach is doing him any favors by putting the bullseye on their backs that he's done with all his comments. And
yeah, they're
and
doing
things.
An awful lot of talking there. And I think that the, you know, I don't normally jump in with the, you know, that message board crowd of, and you know, in terms of that. But I do think the Patriots have heard some of these comments by Kerry Rhodes and Rex Ryan, and they're going to remember it.
100 points.
Yeah, Andy thinks they're going to score 100 points.
You guys were talking about message boards. I don't know, you know, how many of the comments you read to some of the websites that are out there, but there seems to be a real budding hatred between Pats fans and Pittsburgh fans. I mean, some of these things are really getting pretty extreme.
It's because they're battling for the team of the decade.
Yeah, I don't read a lot of that stuff. I do read Pats fans a lot. I think there's some good stuff there, and I like I like a lot of those guys that run. You know, Ian was a good friend of ours when he was here covering the team, you know, on a daily basis. So I read that a lot. I don't get into any of the trash-talking stuff or some of the other places where they might be butting heads with opposing fans. I like to read about the Patriots. I don't necessarily like to read about other teams in message board forums and stuff like that. I don't know how you are, Andy.
Craig, before I let you go.
Yeah.
Who's the hottest woman in the world?
Oh, God. That's hard to say. I'm trying to remember this chick's name I saw in a movie the other night. She was in a movie with Nicolas Cage called Next, and I don't remember her name.
Okay. You sure it wasn't?
She was all that in a bag of chips, though, let me tell you.
All righty. All right, that's Craig in
barbecue chips?
Craig in North Carolina checking in with some hot chick who was in a movie with Nicolas Cage.
Called Next.
Although, as Paul Perillo pointed out, it could have been late night on Skinamax that he was watching such a flick, and maybe that girl jumped out at him.
That's true.
Gorillas with Gloves or whatever those movies are you like to watch late night.
Gorillas with Gloves. What are you watching?
Strippers chimes
in. No, I caught the Witches of Brestwick.
Julianne Moore or Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel would be my guess.
Julie, yeah.
Who had lunch with?
Andy Hart.
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I crossed in the hallway at the Health Services Center when I had mono at Tufts.
Okay.
But, and she didn't look that hot. I'm not going to lie to you. She in person, yeah, doesn't pass the eyeball test. It was early Saturday morning, though. Could have been a tough night for
her. She could have just made the walk of shame.
Could be. But did you see Timberlake and Beal had lunch in L.A. with Brady and Giselle?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Was in one of those gossip things. Fun fact from strippers.
It's just a fun fact.
Mark Sanchez. He could not leap over John David Booty at USC. You know what the problem is with John David Booty, Paul?
Too many names.
No. They use a bigger ball in the NFL, and he has very small hands.
That's true. I knew that. I wouldn't necessarily hold that as the end all either, though. I mean, look, I mean, do you think, and I'm not ready to completely dismiss Matt Leinart's career, but
I am.
Matt Cassel couldn't leap over Matt Leinart at USC either, and he proved last year that he could be a pretty good quarterback. So,
what's the closest city named Dallas in the U.S.? Doctor, get back to me. Taz in Toronto. Hey, boys. Just got to say, I did miss you, Andy. I seem to be your only fan or something.
I did, too. I missed
more than that.
Believe me, on Tuesday, I was missing Andy.
So I'm a step ahead of the interns. Good to know. Am I ahead of B-Lo, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Apparently, people like when you're on vacation. Well, I'm sure you like when you're on vacation, too. You ain't lying. There was definitely no curse words or anything provocative and borderline against the rules, laugh out loud. But you did a fair job, Paul. Good has dropped down to fair. Now,
sorry, I did the best I could with what I had to work with.
Wasn't much to work with, I understand.
I got dealt eight high.
Pennsylvania is the closest Dallas. With the great debate, I would take Tom for 10 years every time. He isn't called the best QB NFL history for nothing. Ride the coaster till it is done, I say, and then talk about how we were the greatest for 15 years or so instead of just celebrating the past. What?
So we can talk about
the past
after the 10 years, but we can't celebrate the past now.
Brady doesn't come along often. Plus, when the season does get extended, like we know it will, the 19-0 will possibly happen again. But during the playoffs, much like the Patriots went 16-0, which was the perfect season for the Dolphins from their 72 season. I'm a little biased, though, because I would take Tom Brady for 10 more years, even if we won 19 in a row twice. I also heard about your fantasy football league. Is there a way for fans to get in? I'm not sure if you remember, but last year I sent tons of emails, which included fantasy football talk and advice. Keep it up, boys. Taz. Well, I think you can still be involved. Go to pfwinprogress.com, and somewhere in the forums or something you can find out about fantasy football.
And also, keep those emails coming.
Needs emails on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Yes.
Starting the first week of August.
Yes. Early August, Brian will be having a Fantasy Lowdown special preseason edition.
He will also be analyzing
podcast only,
not live, which I don't know what that matters to you guys.
But
just listen to a podcast.
You can still send emails beforehand.
And after.
Maybe he can. Well, after's not going to do you any good.
And he'll also be writing a column in Patriots Football Weekly.
Correct.
Monthly. Where he's a big fan of doing A to Z for fantasy football. Not to steal any of his secrets of writing. Let's get through. A lot of emails still left. I'm going to blow through some of them. I found a game for Paul.
I love games.
College, LSU at night.
Oh, absolutely.
Arkansas at LSU, Saturday, November 28th, Arkansas in Baton Rouge.
Who is this emailer?
This is Strippers.
Oh, Strippers.
7 p.m.
The problem, buddy,
pass
is
place
I can't go.
Monday night.
Yeah.
Here's you can get there.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
What,
Paul's kind of like Andy. He talks the talk, but he never walks
no,
the walk.
No, what I need is a new job so I can do this. This is like something in
but
my
he's
next
saying
life.
We go down there on Monday night. You can see them on... Oh, wait.
We don't go until Sunday.
Right, so you'd have to fly down on your own.
Fly yourself.
Yeah. No. Rich boy.
Yeah, rich boy.
Yeah.
Take Fred with you.
But you know what, Strippers? I did speak a little bit too soon there because I didn't realize you were setting me up in the same city. So there is a possibility, and I do appreciate that amount of work. Now, I wonder if tickets are at all available. Would you be interested in doing something like that?
No.
No. Never mind.
I would go, but not. I'm not flying on my own doing that. I don't think Deidre would be keen on that anyway.
Yeah, I'd also have to see if my wife was working on that Saturday. If she was, then there'd be no way I could do it.
Zach Evans says, sup, guys, good show so far, laugh out loud. So does that mean
that we weren't really good?
last night, Warren Sapp on NFL TA, Total Access, ranked the best wide receivers in the NFL right now. He put Randy 1 and Fitzgerald 4.
Who else?
Any guys? Your list. He doesn't say anymore. That's it. Andre Johnson has to be in mine. Calvin Johnson has to be in mine. Randy Moss would be in mine. Larry Fitzgerald would be in mine.
I also like Bolden.
Anquan Bolden is good.
I know that he's kind of fallen off with his contract stuff.
Well, I think that has kind of outshined his play at this point. Who else is in the category?
I mean, T.O. is probably in the category.
T.O. entertains me on that. I've been in and out of the All-Star Challenge or whatever. He's entertained me with some of his comments. He's pretty funny. And I swear he flexes his abs at all times. Like, he must walk around flexing them because...
I wouldn't know.
About abs? I know.
Exactly.
Did you ever have any?
No.
I didn't really either. Even when I was in my best shape, I never really had abs.
I was skinny my whole life, but I never had, you know, abs.
Definitely not undefeated against rookie QBs, says Joshua Tolles. Is this the guy I don't like?
Yes.
That's a stupid email.
What is it? Who'd they lose to?
Lost to Roth Robelberger.
Oh, that's right.
To end the 21-game winning streak for starters. Welcome back, Andy. You suck. Yeah, you know who sucks? The person
Eric.
Who gave me... Oh, jeez.
What?
That is inappropriate and uncalled.
He's the worst member of the show by far.
That's true. Well said. Now, the interns don't count yet.
We've come full circle. That was really Andy-like
that
right
was.
There.
You always have an out. You got to have an out. Todd Porter, Paul, we think you're angry because we wasps turn red and yell. We are angry. But you're Italian, so you do it when you're expressing your misplaced love for Drew Bledsoe. Paul, your intern Chris, the guy with the wacky theories, and Eric is... Paul, you're the intern Chris, the guy with the wacky theories, and Eric is the quiet one. So, not what I guessed when they made the comparison between the interns and you and Eric.
Now, does this mean I'm angry because I didn't respond?
No, respond. That's what we're looking for here.
Well, I have a hard time knowing when I'm supposed to be angry.
Is that why you're just angry all the time?
Well, I'm very infrequently angry on this show, just so you know. Especially when Fred's not involved.
How far? This is going to close the show because we want to close the show on the note that everybody wants to hear about, and it's about the great debate.
Sorry, Andrew.
How far will the great debate go? Why do I have this feeling that the great debate will continue throughout the season and that the question will somehow find its way being asked to one of the players or even the crafts? I would love to know, not necessarily the players, but I would love to know Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft's honest feelings on it. I'll never ask him. I'll tell you that.
I was going to say, it's not going to come from me. I'm not going to ask.
It's obvious Patriots Nation is still hurting from the Super Bowl loss. Speaking of America's game on NFLN, I think I saw it on one of the early Colts shows. One of the Colts players mentioned that losing to the Jets in Super Bowl III left more of an impression than any of the Super Bowl wins. There has to be a similarity with the Pats of 07. Do the Pats need to win another Super Bowl to get over the 07 loss?
They might.
Some of them. Well, I certainly think.
I got to tell you, Andy.
Randy Moss.
You are.
Very
it's
smart.
Not necessarily you, but I am really starting to.
Why are you
going to
say that? Why are you going to preface your comments with
because
that?
Because I don't really think you made a compelling argument.
A few minutes ago, you said I made some good arguments. Now, which is it? Play the tapes back. He said I made good arguments.
Now Andy's angry.
I'm not angry. I'm the happiest man you know.
Only Andy is allowed to yell and not be angry. Everybody else that yells is angry. I'm just so in the middle on this argument. I guess I might just be ready to say Brady for 10 years.
You go both ways?
I might change. I'm Tim Cahill. I'm leaving the Democratic Party.
I'm voting for him if he runs for governor.
Yeah, no, I really think that there's really good arguments to be made on both sides, and I could see both.
But there is no argument. This was the greatest show in the history of this week of radio here on Patriots.com.
Well, you guys can do without me next week.
Oh, we'll do without you, because Fred Kirsch, the man that you cannot live without, will be returning to PFW in Progress after a week off. Can only imagine what he's like with a little extra energy and his batteries recharged.
Make sure you tune in on Tuesday, because I'm sure he's going to have some good time. He had to have some of those trees cut down. He's got to have some good stories from a whole week
off. He'll be asking for a place to stay while they fix the house.
Exactly.
Eric will be back from Canada, where he was a participant in a parade up there on one of the floats, wearing his best leather getup and his Brokeback Mountain boots, which are in fact true. He has boots that look like they came straight off the set of Brokeback Mountain. The Doc will be back to continue to try to revive his career with actual drop-ins during the show. Did not take kindly to all the praise that Toyota Tacoma got for a great, great job as producer while Doc was away.
I think one of the best produced...
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
One of the best produced individual shows that I can ever remember, last Thursday.
Toyota is an up-and-coming star in the industry. Soon, he'll be behind this glass often. That glass right there.
Because I'll permanently be somewhere else.
Yeah, the unemployment line with the other 10% of the population, some of whom may be listening to us. Anyway, that's going to do it for this PFW in Progress, and I must close the show the way the Thursday shows always close, or sometimes when Fred gets it right. See you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.